Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks. We're two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my short, yellowed, wrinkled friend, Maz Kanata. How are you, Maz Kanata?
I can't do Maz Kanata.
Yeah. Where's my boyfriend?
That's actually pretty good.
Thanks.
Yeah, I can't do her voice. I can't do Lupita Nyong'o. How are you, buddy?
I'm fine, Maz. How are you? No, I won't keep going. Just kidding, everyone. It's Frank.
Oh, hi. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We have something exciting going on here. But first, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Sophie. She's very nice.
Sophie. Mm. Was that her choice? Or
a Belgian-style farmhouse ale.
Mm-hmm.
There is a goose on top.
Goose Island Beer Company. Yeah, I had never tried this one before.
It's quite good.
Yeah, it is very good.
I love a good Belgian
beer. I love Belgian beers, and I like Goose Island a lot. So this is quite refreshing. I'm enjoying this. Yeah. So I just received, this very day as we record, my copy of Star Wars, The Force Awakens, on Blu-ray.
Oh, how very nice for you.
So I hold it here in my hand. It is unopened.
You are correct. It is, in fact, unopened.
I was wondering if you would like to watch it with me, and we could comment on it whilst we watch.
I would be delighted to that.
Would you like to watch this copy with me for the first time?
I would. I would first like to watch you open that copy.
Well, let's do that.
And I will talk over it while you do it, because it's sure it's going to be an arduous process.
It's maybe. We'll see.
All right. Well, because I'm an internet celebrity, I actually received my copy on Friday.
Yes, you did, didn't
so,
you?
So,
all right, hold on. Wait, pause right here.
Apple knows of my internet celebrity.
They do. Also, because
and allow me to get digital movies first.
Or maybe just the digital copies come out first, always. Here we go. Love that sound.
It's not as good as the peeling the plastic off of electronics feel.
That is true. Like off your phone or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
that is a great feeling. But it's pretty close.
Pretty darn close. All right. I'm going to pop in. So this is the multi-pack that has Blu-ray, DVD, and a digital copy. I'm going to pop in the Blu-ray.
Pop it in. Yeah. So how many times did you see this in theaters?
I saw this in theaters.
Don't be embarrassed. It's called Beer with Geeks.
Four times in theaters.
You saw it four times in theaters.
Four times in theaters.
So this will be your fifth viewing.
That is correct. This will be my fifth.
Okay.
Fifth full viewing. I did catch sort of a half viewing in between two theater viewings. So I've seen it four and a half times, I guess.
Okay.
And this would be number five.
Okay.
Full time.
I saw it seven times in theaters because I kept getting invited. And why say no?
Why say no? Yeah.
And then I've watched it about one and a half times.
Since Friday. Very cool.
So this will be a count just about my 10th time on this film.
Wow.
So at this point, I do believe we are quite ready to talk about it.
I think between the two of us, yeah, this would be, after this, it's 15 times having seen it. Oh, all together, when you put our two viewings together?
Yeah.
I think that's enough times to
I've commented on movies that I haven't seen as much as this one. Wait, no. Have we only done Star Wars commentaries?
Over on Supergirl TV Talk, we did one for Superman Batman Apocalypse.
Yeah, I definitely have not seen that film 15
I've
times.
I've only seen that maybe two or three times before we commented on it. So I'm going to turn on subtitles here. I'm on the menu screen if you're joining along.
English for the hearing impaired. Yes. That's us, but we're hearing impaired by choice.
By choice.
Because I need your sweet dulcet tones in my ear.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got the subtitles turned on, and I'm
you
on the menu.
You still also have the sound on. Are you going to turn that off?
I am going to mute that now, yes.
No, turn it back on. I can't hear the score.
too bad. Okay, so I am on the play button. Here's what I'm going to do. But don't, if you were playing along with us, don't do it just yet. Don't hit
everyone's,
play just yet.
Everyone's disc reader is different.
Yes, that's right. So what I did was I have hit play on it. I'm letting the FBI anti-piracy warning play. So I'm going to get through that. And I'm pausing it as soon as I can after the FBI anti-piracy warning goes away. So we're all okay. I'm at 0001 right now. So if you're joining along with us, do the same. And
you're at 0002.
Oh, look at that. On the TV screen it says 02, but on the actual Blu-ray player it says 01.
I want to trust the Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's 0102. It's 1 second. Well, it won't make quite that much difference.
We're at 1138.
1138.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're joining along, get it queued up right to there, and we are. I think we're ready to go.
Ready to go.
All right. So
commencing
countdown. Engines on. 3, 2, 1. Play.
I almost yelled, "Wait for it!" It's so bad.
On three or after three. So Lucasfilm logo is come and gone. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Read by Mark Hamill at the first reading at the table
nice.
Read.
Yeah, I understand. So if I haven't watched the special features yet, because as you know, I just literally opened it. But Tim has had a chance to watch some.
I watched a good chunk of them, but let's talk about it after the opening scroll, because there's a lot to dissect here. For instance, what do you think it means by episode V11
VII? Oh, see, I read it as like
or episode 4K. What
I read it as like episode Vi, like they're vying for
control.
Yeah.
I understand.
Of the galaxy.
Yeah,
that's how I read
it. Luke Skywalker has vanished. In his absence, the sinister First Order has risen from the ashes of the Empire and will not rest until Skywalker, the last Jedi, has been destroyed. With the support of the Republic, General Leia Organa leads a brave resistance. She is desperate to find her brother Luke and gain his help in restoring peace and justice in the galaxy. It bothers me that Luke is not surrounded by commas. Leia has sent her most daring pilot, Poe Dameron, Poe Dameron, on a secret mission to Jakku, where an old ally has discovered a clue to Luke's whereabouts. Ellipsis.
So the old ally is obviously Lor San Tekka.
Yes, that's right.
Max von Sydow. And he really didn't get to do much in this movie.
No, you know? I think everyone expected him to do a lot because it's Max von Sydow. So it was, but I think they needed somebody to deliver gravitas immediately.
Yeah.
And he is very good at that.
They needed a Peter Cushing or an
Alec
Guinness type older actor.
But we all assumed that they'd be like Alec Guinness and Peter Cushing were in the majority of the first movie. They had a lot of screen time.
I love this by the way.
This angle actually really confused me when I first saw it. With the ships coming out, I was really trying to figure out at first, like, where it was all coming
from. Where are we?
But I like it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And from a distance, these kind of looked like the little shuttlecraft that come from the Enterprise in the original Star Trek series.
Ew, no,
From a distance, you don't talk about
Trek. This is Wars.
I know.
War is a serious
game. Listen, I prefer Wars over Trek, but...
War is a game of thrones.
Oh, not yet. She's coming later.
Yeah.
there he is. There's his big debut.
Okay, so on a scale of Gonk Droid to R2-D2, or Mouse Droid to R2-D2, where do you rate BB-8?
Just below R2-D2.
See, I like him more than R2.
Oh, really?
Isn't that blasphemous?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's a little blasphemous,
okay, though. I mean, that's...
But R2's kind of a jerk, and BB-8 has got this, like, puppy dog thing going on.
It's very true. It's very, very true.
And I just love how excited he gets at the littlest thing. So, speaking of gravitas, to me, she's royalty. I think this movie does a lot at not... It doesn't pander to the audience, much like the first one. Like, I'm sorry, like, I was once a Jedi Knight the same as your father.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not going to tell you what that is. We have a piece that protects us. Oh, you know what I mean?
But it doesn't. It assumes you're smart enough to figure out what they mean.
Right, exactly. Right. And so and I think that the film then also benefits from a repeat viewing that way.
Because there are certain things that if you were really paying attention and every line stuck with you, maybe you'd be like, oh, that's what he meant before.
Yeah.
But in most cases, it's the kind of thing that is only really going to impact you when you watch it the second, third, fourth time.
Right, exactly. This village is, this little compound, this little village, are worshippers of the Force.
Yes.
And
aren't they, isn't it called like the Church of the Force?
The Church of the Force, yeah. So they're not Jedi, but they are, it's like if Jedi are ministers or priests or whatever, these are basically your laymen who believe in the Force.
The congregation.
Yeah. But they don't take that extra step. They might not even be Force sensitive. They're just aware and believe in it.
I don't remember where I first heard that. I think it was after the film came out.
It was after the film. Mm-hmm. It was when we went through the visual dictionary.
Yes, that's right. Oh, yeah, that would have been good. That's all right.
Yeah, because I'm not going to remember the name of this village, but that's okay.
That's all right.
And I'm definitely going to use a lookup later, so I'm not going to do it now.
Well, remember, whenever we do these longer ones, we do
two lookups. Right.
So
is it two lookups?
I think we've agreed on two.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I guess we could do like one per half hour or something like that.
Right, but then I'll just...
That's a lot of counting.
Yeah, not gonna, yeah. Can't count to four.
I was told there would be no math.
1, 2, 7, 4. See, I can't do it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I can't do it, Captain.
Take this flash drive. It's safer with you than it is with me.
I like that the little pocket does everything. Like, if I put it in this little drawer, somewhere in BB-8, there's a mechanism that'll load it into another bit that does all the... You know, it's a very helpful pocket.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Which is fine. Pose a very good shot. In and out of his X-Wing. Yes.
Much better than the Stormtroopers, I must say.
Actually, but these First Order troopers are actually pretty lethal.
Yeah.
Because the only times you see the Stormtroopers be good at their jobs is at the beginning of Episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
You see them be good at their jobs several times in this film, which is very nice.
True. Yes.
I always thought when the trooper raises his hand and put blood on the thing, it's like an odd movement,
mm-hmm.
the way that he doesn't move slowly. Yeah. He kind of goes flip,
yeah,
and flips it down. Bum, 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 bum,
bum. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Nailed it.
I remember
just like John Williams.
The first time I was watching it in the theater back in December, I remember being like, "Oh, that's a theme."
Yeah,
that's his,
you could play that
that's
game.
That's gonna
like,
be
that's
the
a theme.
Yeah,
yeah.
I had a harder time identifying Rey's the first time. Now I'm very familiar with it, but
yeah,
the first time
it's everywhere.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like, is that like, where's her actual like distinguishable theme? I couldn't quite.
Well, did you hear that bit about when you're writing a song, your intro should be in juxtaposition to your. Should be in juxtaposition to the rest of your theme. So you remember mm-hmm. the theme
mm-hmm.
because it's just a setup. It shouldn't be the same, but her theme starts with the bells. Dung, dung, dung. So you don't actually recognize when the real theme kicks in and starts. And I think that's why a lot of people had a hard time picking it up.
Because I remember walking out and feeling like, oh, okay. I mean, John Williams did a really good job. It's a good score, but I don't feel like there were any, like other than like that one Kylo Ren theme, I didn't feel like there were many distinguishable themes like there are in, you know, the first six films.
Right. I think that we're also used to those themes. Mm-hmm. And so
I agree with you. I think I was just, this is so freaking cool.
The blaster bolt.
The bolt being frozen.
Getting, yeah. I remember gasps in the theaters.
Yeah.
It would stink if you walked into it accidentally.
Yeah.
Just like, whoops. He's got quick reflexes, actually, if anything. This part here, it took me out for a second, you know, so we've got Kylo, you know, crouching down, you know, who talks first? You talk first, I talk first. And there are bits of dialogue in this film that it doesn't exactly feel like Star Wars because it feels modern, and Poe's dialogue sometimes feels that way.
Poe talks like James Kirk from the J.J. Abrams Star Trek films.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Captain Kirk.
Though his expressions and his actions and his movement hint at 70s actor. Yes. Like he is, yes, in that universe.
And his look, his
yeah, yeah, know, absolutely. Yeah. But is but the way he delivers his dialogue is snappy and modern. Sometimes it's although sometimes it's a little overpronounced, which is very, it's a 70s style, mm-hmm, you know, all that. But there's a bit that he doesn't quite fit the mold. And John Boyega's Finn is the same way.
Yes,
they're the two that they're very good. They both are very good actors, particularly Oscar Isaac, which annoys me so much when people call him Oscar Isaacs because it's Oscar Isaac. There's no S. It's like when people say the Book of Revelations and not, yes, Revelations. Like, yeah. There's no S there. Stop adding an S. Anyway, not the point.
Yeah, but no, yeah, it is interesting that his acting, the dialogue he's given and the way he delivers it is in many ways very modern.
It's very modern.
But he's dressed and his mannerisms are, yeah, more like that of a 70s, mm-hmm, character.
That's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just feels slightly in a weird place. And we can talk about Finn more when we get there.
Sure.
Did you know that Poe was originally supposed to die in this interrogation thing? Oh, or when, okay, they crash onto the planet, he was not supposed to come back from that.
Okay.
But
okay,
they ultimately decided that if you're going to get Oscar Isaac and he's going to do such a good job, let him, you know, keep him. I like this yeah, look he also gives when he shows up and he looks around and he's kind of like, oh, they're much more well equipped than we thought they were.
Yeah, like,
this is bad for us, the resistance, the very, very confusing resistance. I got it now. Now that I've seen this movie 10 times, I am aware of how the resistance works.
Well, I mean, from having read the novelization and from... Mm-hmm.
Between the art of book, the novelization, the visual dictionary, and all that, I am very well equipped to actually, yeah, answer questions. And I don't know, does that mean the film fail by like making me like have to get all these things to understand it?
I would argue, yeah. I mean, I love this movie. I think this is, you know, it's fantastic. But I'll still criticize things that I think are deserving of criticism. And yeah, I think that in that one sense,
yeah,
it did sort of fail at explaining who the First Order really is and who the Resistance really is.
Yeah. It's a little, it doesn't pander down to you, you know.
No, it doesn't.
But
right,
on repeat viewings, it's still like there's still pieces missing.
Yeah, it's not apparent from the movie. You do need to do a little homework.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. If there had to be something that I didn't understand, I'd rather it be that rather than something that's...
Like that's, character motivations, yes, or something like that, because, mm-hmm, you certainly understand everybody's motivation, yes, in this film. For instance, Rey likes water. That is why she's drinking it right now.
That is very true. She's very motivated.
There's a beautiful wide
water
shot of her, oh my God, framed, yeah, in the Star Destroyer, the Dust Outside Destroyer, her little goggles with the Stormtrooper glass, the Stormtrooper eyes.
I wish that they hadn't...
This was really cool in 3D.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I wish they hadn't shown us in the trailer these shots of the Star Destroyer.
Oh, Christ, really?
On Jakku, only because the impact it would have had, not knowing it was coming, would have been, and it's something you could have left out of the trailer, and it wouldn't have really, you know, made much difference.
I think so, but I think because they had to sell the film by, sure, only showing you what is basically the first act of the film, apart from a few seconds of footage here and there.
That is very.
I can understand why they would show it.
Do you remember people were worried, like, I hope they're not giving away the whole movie. I hope we're not seeing, mm-hmm, like, everything. And you're right. It really was essentially Act 1.
It is Act 1.
It was a good chunk of the important things in Act 1. This shot right here.
Yeah.
Of the,
oh, so beautiful,
story off in the background. That was in that first.
It's also a very different teaser tone with her theme playing over this versus what was shown in the trailer.
That's true.
You know, it's very desperate and bleak in the trailer. And it's a little sad. But a little, you know, adventurous at the same time with,
yeah,
her theme.
That Black Friday teaser that came out, mm-hmm, where you see like Finn pop up into frame, yeah, and it's scary. It's like,
yeah,
dun, dun, tense right from the,
yeah,
start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh man, we got some great. Those are good. Those were good trailers. We got good trailers for this movie. We really did.
This was the first scene that she filmed.
Oh, okay.
That this is day one filming of Star Wars Episode 7. Day one. Rey cleans this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, now that you mention that, I do sort of remember hearing that or reading that somewhere.
Yeah.
Gonk. There's Gonk.
Yep. She said that her arm hurt a lot, apparently.
Which from scrubbing.
Like from scrubbing, yeah.
I love that imagery or that...
Hey, Simon Pegg, how are you?
Yeah. On Carplot. that juxtaposition of her cleaning these parts and selling them for food, and the old woman across the way from her mm-hmm. doing the same thing, and her looking at her future.
Yeah.
Seeing this old woman being like, this is going to be me,
because
I'm going to wait here forever.
Yep. Oh, the little dead flower, with your little action figure, her little her spaceman doll, her X-Wing pilot spaceman doll.
Yeah.
She's really, very she really patient. Just learned how to take tallies. You know, just 1, 2, 3, 4, cross.
Five, yeah.
This was one of my favorite things in the film.
And this is a practical effect, too.
Practical effect and edible.
And edible, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like anything. It's empty calories, but you could eat it.
They said you wouldn't want to, but you could eat it.
Yeah, it's just, they said that it's actually not, the bread was not hard to make. It was getting it to look right.
Yes.
What texture,
like color, right texture. Yeah.
I just want to know what she's eating here.
Yeah. Well, it looks like she's dipping the bread in something.
Yeah. Well, she's eating like little green leaves things, like grape leaves. Than anything. You know, I've just got my helmet on, you know, just chilling because I'm Ray. I'm a Ray Sunshine. See, there it is. Some sunshine. It's all good. Yeah. That foot is real. The rest of it's not, but that foot is. Yeah. I think it's also a fascinating choice that the first thing you actually hear her say is a dialect that is not English.
That is true. Talking to Tito.
Yep. Yep. Tito shouting, you know, speaking alien dialect.
Mm-hmm. So here's
like a parkwa.
That's right. It was. Yeah. Parkwa. Here's what's interesting. In the film, he is just called Tito. Oh, that's Tito.
Yep.
He doesn't care about anything or anybody. In the novelization, he's described as a Tito. He is from a race of creatures called Titos.
Tito.
And this is a Tito.
That's just Tito.
But I guess they decided to change that.
That's just his name. Yeah. Oh, he's so cute with the little Bali.
He's so
controlled by three people.
That is true. Yes. You actually, yeah. Go ahead and so radio
controlled by three people, someone who controls his head, his body, and the LED lights. All separate. From one another, plus the voices that he makes.
Of course, yeah. I was going to say, actually, that in real life, the actual size of BB-8 is bigger than I thought compared to a real person. I saw a life-size beanbag version from ThinkGeek.
Yep,
and
he's bigger.
Bigger than I thought.
Really?
Bigger than I thought. Not as big as like the R2-D2s you see at conventions and stuff.
Right.
But almost as big. Almost as big. And like when you see him next to R2,
this is one of my favorite R2. This is one of my favorite BB-8 moments.
I love her.
The
way she rolls her eyes and tilts her head is so, so good.
It is so good. So at the conventions, R2-D2.
Yeah. So when I saw him next to R2-D2 later in the film, I thought I had an idea of how big he was.
Mm-hmm.
But if the thing that I saw is really life size, then he's bigger than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bigger than I imagined.
It's hard to tell when you don't know how tall... When you don't know how tall each of these actors are to begin with, it is actually difficult to... It's difficult to ascertain, you know, size, ratio, and stuff like that.
The lighting here reminds me so much of on Cloud City, when they're... Like, when Han's being tortured, and, like, Leia and Chewie are...
Cast
in that sort of prison area.
Yep. Very
holding cell.
Sterile with the same type of
apparatus. The
same type of torture device that he's not really seemed to be using. He's really.
No, he's using the Force, but.
But he did say that, you know, he was being tortured before and he couldn't get anything out of him, so now it's his turn.
Exactly.
You know, I love the way that Adam Driver actually used the use of his hands and the motions that he creates. It's very. In the hands of a lesser skilled actor, it could come off looking very hokey, I think. I also love how the room dips into a triangle that way.
Yes.
You know, it kind of claustrophobic effect.
Leave that to me.
Leave that to me. Yeah.
Classified. Yeah, I love her talking to BB-8 and her... her delivery here is heartbreaking. One day.
Yeah.
No,
child.
No, it's just, no, it's not happening. I'm sorry.
Nope. What about the droid? Oh, Simon Pegg, you're so funny. Is it strange that she just met this droid or whatever, and, you know, here's all this food, like 60 portions, like you could get, you know, you could take a day off, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. something like that, you know, and, but she's like, nah, he's kind of like a dog.
Yeah, sort of. I think the Force is at work here.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I think there is some, she may not realize it. I don't think she's conscious of it. I don't think she's like, ooh, yeah. The Force is telling me. But I think she has some understanding.
Her intuition.
I just don't feel right doing this. This doesn't feel right. I shouldn't do this.
She trusts her intuition.
Yes.
More than some other people might. Yeah. That's very true.
I got to say, for Finn here to go in there and be like, I have orders to take him. Like, that's gutsy.
Extremely.
That is gutsy. Like, he is, as much as he chickens out here in a couple minutes, like, he...
He's very sweaty.
He's very sweaty. His delivery is so great, like the entire movie where he's like, what? What's going on? Like, yeah. Oh my God.
This I actually thought was a little rushed because, you know, you need a pilot. I need a pilot. You know, like it's...
Because
the two of them, we talked about how their delivery is a little bit different than everybody else's. It's snappy. It moves faster. Than everybody, they move at a faster pace than everybody else does.
Yeah, but I think that's probably also direction, don't you think? Like faster, more intense type thing. You
yeah.
know, like, this needs to be faster and more intense. His delivery of, I need a pilot, of like, when he confirms, like, yeah, I need a pilot.
Yeah.
I kind of wish he had said, yeah, I need a pilot or something. Cause like the first time I was like, oh, you're saying yes. Oh, God. Oh, that's funny. Oh, that was a joke. Oh, I kind of missed that.
Yeah.
Just because the delivery kind of threw me off a little tiny bit, but I'm not complaining. This, because we've never seen a TIE fighter tethered.
No, it's getting fueled mm-hmm. or some mm-hmm. such.
Something, yeah.
Hey, Liam Neeson's son from Love Actually,
yeah,
how are you?
Him.
Yeah. How are you?
And that Admiral who just mm-hmm. gave him the order to alert General Hux, isn't he from Return of the Jedi?
No, he's dead.
Okay.
I know what guy you're thinking of. You think of not General Veers.
Not Nita, not Veers.
But Captain Nita dies. He dies.
No, it's not Nita.
Yeah,
I thought that explosion shot was going to happen way later in the movie.
Me too. But again, it's a lot of first act stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I assumed that was like from like whatever big like major battle happened at the end or something like that. I also assumed that Han being like the Jedi, you know, it's true, all of it. I assume that would come a little bit later than it did, too.
I don't know when I assumed that would come, actually. It's a valid point.
I thought they wouldn't meet him until later in the film.
I was actually quite surprised to see the targeting computers and all that stuff was the same.
Looked the same.
Yeah, pretty much, from Jedi or from what I was
saying. From A New Hope, even.
Which I thought was smart because I always think to myself, like, man, that just does not look great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, if you're, like, traveling in space and all this fun stuff, then, you know, maybe your computer should be a little bit better. But it still has a unified feel to it, which I appreciate more. And you can tell it's, like, slightly more advanced. Though there's a more color depth and display just a little bit. But, I mean, if you also look at still at radar screens today, they don't look that much different than they did, you know, 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. It's true. And also, if you look at, like, what commercial airlines, what kind of instrumentation they have in their, in the cockpits, they don't, I mean, it's not like 3D imaging. It's like pretty bare bones because
right.
like, what can these computers run with, like, relatively low power and reliably?
Right.
What is a reliable, easy, always going to work way of me knowing, you know, where the horizon is or whatever. So from that standpoint of that kind of industrial design, it actually kind of makes sense that it would be a fairly bare bones wireframe look. It looks like you're playing asteroids or something.
Yeah. No, that's it. It does look like they're playing asteroids. Yeah. Well, I mean, in 1977, those computer images.
That was the best we could do.
Well,
computer.
The first 3D rendered animation, from a computer appeared in Star Wars in 1977. The Trench Run is mm-hmm. the first 3D animated anything from a computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they're showing the demo of the Trench Run.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And so I hate it when I see it because I'm like, oh, you look so bad. But like, it's a historical event, so you don't change it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Or historical for film, anyway.
Did they not change it in the special edition?
No, they didn't.
Oh, okay.
No, they kept it. Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't quite remember. And honestly, I've seen it on Blu-ray now so many times in the recent, last couple of years that I kind of have forgotten
right.
if it had changed very much.
That's true. I think that was the purpose.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of the change.
Although there are rumors that Disney, may release Blu-ray, Beth is Beer is good. Blu-ray versions of the theatrical cuts, rumored.
Yes, I have heard that.
Which I would very much love. As much as I love the Blu-ray versions we have, I would love to see I would own both easily, happily.
Yeah, see, I'm fine with taking the newest existing copy because that's the one that now fits into the canon moving forward.
I enjoy it as a historical document.
Yeah. Historical documents. Yeah.
And we really do need to talk about that movie one
day. I know. Pedal to the metal, Commander. Yeah. I'm just going to make Galaxy Quest references in this Star Wars movie. Shoot.
Should be making Spaceballs references, but that's fine.
Oh, I've been holding back Home the Desert this whole time. Like, I'm waiting for the First Order troopers to show up in the village Jakku village before I start shouting that out.
I'm so glad they did practical effects in this movie and not less... Or a better blend of practical and CG. We talked about this when we reviewed the film after it first came out.
Yeah, there's a big blend of both of them. The best CG is the CG you don't know that was there in the first place.
Yep.
You know, we're adding some snow on the ground you didn't know, like in the road that didn't have any snow.
But you didn't notice.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you only notice bad CG.
Yes.
When it's good, you don't see a difference.
Exactly. I'll never forget. And it's still in there in the special edition of Return of the Jedi mm-hmm. when you see a shot as they go out to the sail barge, Jabba's sail barge, and there's like a landscape shot similar to this actually.
Yeah.
Of just like the sand dunes.
Yeah.
And it's just terrible 1997 computer-generated sand dunes.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. It looks like a cutscene from a PlayStation
video.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's awful.
It's so terrible, and it hasn't been updated or enhanced. I just wish they would remove it. I wish they would remove it.
Get out.
I would rather not have it than have it look so... It takes me out of the film. It distracts me.
I agree.
Every time.
So, fun observation. We're 26 minutes into this film. I have yet to see Finn not sweaty. Right, because he sweats in the stormtrooper gear, and then he sweats when he takes off his helmet on the ship, and then now he's in the desert sweating, and I'm like, poor guy.
He's like, oh man, I'm in the desert and I'm sweating. I should put on this jacket.
Yes, well, I mean, he's keeping his internal temperature. You know, he's not he's not as sweaty here. Good for that guy.
Yeah, but he is kind of sweaty.
Yeah,
and he is dehydrated because he's like, oh my god,
yeah, he's sweaty. There he is. That water must taste so.
I would rather
gross.
Drink this elephant. Hippopotamus water.
Hog squaddle. Hog squaddle. Thank you.
Yeah. Although is that official or is that?
I don't know, actually. Yeah. That's a great question. Though it was not CG, I can tell you that.
Yes, I did see the photo. It said photos. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I was very surprised. I mean, there's some CG enhancement there, but it was a practical
model. But again, that's
model.
The best kind of CG.
Exactly.
Enhancement.
Exactly.
You hog squaddle butt. People always go like they're like, how is Rey so good with a lightsaber? Like, did you not watch the beginning of the movie where she beat up the guys with the staff?
Yeah, she already knew how to use a bow staff.
Yeah.
And like, by the way, she wasn't that good with a lightsaber at first.
No, she had to wait for the force to flow through her.
Right.
God, watch the damn movie.
Like Luke, honestly. Like, he wasn't that good at it when he first
Was Luke so good at destroying the Death Star and killing millions of people?
Because he was already
right.
Because he was already a really good mass murderer,
right? Exactly, he's a great mass murderer. He killed a lot of animals in his T-16 back home.
Yeah, exactly.
So Luke was a serial killer.
He used to
pull
by Womp Rats,
right? Yeah. So people are nuts.
I know.
Boom again. See, she's just so good.
Yeah. So good. I'm opening up a second beer here. Are you good? Can I offer you?
Kind, but
can I offer you a second one?
No, I'm still working on this one. I was drinking the water that you provided me first. I don't know why. I just was. You see, a lot of his dialogue here, even, you know, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
So
he's a lot less sweaty now.
Yeah, he is. Well, you know, he saw Ray. He's got to be less sweaty, you know. But out of this movie, you know, there's a lot of, you know, John Boyega,
yep,
and Daisy Ridley and whatever. Who do you think comes off looking the best?
Comes off looking the best as an actor?
Because an actor,
not a character.
As an actor.
I was most impressed with Daisy Ridley, I think.
Yeah, I was.
But John Boyega was not far behind.
Because I didn't feel that he fit the yeah, I'm with the resistance. Yeah,
I'm with the resistance.
Yeah, it's like, I love her face here. I've never been to a resistance fighter before. Her eyes do a little twitch thing.
Yeah.
And she gets so excited about
others
life.
Different.
Yeah. Others look different. But it's like, stuff like that. I thought he was a myth. I'm just going to quote this movie now.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry.
It's bad.
But I know what you're saying. So because he's a different kind of actor, different style of actor, and he doesn't...
We combed the desert. Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
We found the...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Even though I knew it was coming.
Yeah,
it's still good.
But it was still good, right?
Still good.
Yep, I was waiting for that exact scene.
This is a benefit to
we combed the
that.
Desert, didn't find anything. Did you see anything? Man, we ain't found shit.
Oh man. Yeah, so you're saying that because he's not the typical Star Wars actor in terms of his delivery and honestly even the dialogue he's given.
Yeah, he just feels a little more modern in a more civilized age. But that's okay. But I think that Daisy Ridley just like gets it a little bit more. Maybe that's just the dialogue. I think that's just the dialogue and the character.
Yeah.
And so, but they're both going to go places.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. I think it's pretty likely that they will both.
Well, I think we exist in a less of a typecast era.
Yes, I agree. And I think it's pretty likely they will both end up in, like, we'll see them cast in something else before the next Star Wars film comes out. We'll see them each do at least one other movie.
Yes, I agree.
It's kind of like, did you see the
Gal
it's
Gadot.
Not Godot, it's Gadot.
Gadot.
Yeah, I saw her. You showed me the Jimmy Kimmel clip.
Yeah.
That she was in where she said her name. She's already in another movie.
Yes,
so
she's
coming
been
out.
In, she's been in several before she was Wonder Woman.
This is my first exposure to her.
Oh yeah.
But I was pleasantly surprised to see that she's already got another big one lined up. I can't remember who with someone pretty big.
The Kevin Costner movies. That the
yeah,
one you're talking
maybe that's
about?
The one. Yeah.
Criminal.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So I feel like something similar will happen for these two. They've got to be in high demand.
Yes, I'm sure. But I mean, they're both filming Episode 8 now. And so, but, and they did, and because that went into production so close into the release of this film, I don't think you're going to, I think you might see them in maybe something lower budget right before.
Yeah, like an indie of some kind.
But I think this is literally but Episode 8 is their second film.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I don't know if they did anything in between. I'm not going to use my one look up either.
Hard to say. Yeah.
To go back a couple of minutes because we were chatting over it, but I like when Finn keeps trying to take her hand and run because he's a good guy or whatever. And we should stick together for some reason, you know, like whatever. But I like how she's like, stop touching my hand.
Yeah.
You know, she's just so, she has been by necessity, extremely independent. And I think the film carries that very well. And she carries it very well
because
she's very strong, but, maybe naive, a little wide-eyed all at the same time. That's a hard sell. You know, it's hard to sell naivete but strength.
Yes, it's a hard mix, right?
Yeah, because normally you're not very strong if you're naive.
Characters
without coming off looking like an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
But I do love when they get hit and he goes, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. Like, why are you even asking me if I'm okay?
Uh-huh.
Of course I'm okay. Don't be an idiot. You know. I'm not a lady. I'm a journalist. You know.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Bold comparison.
Bold.
Yeah. I agree. I love that we didn't even talk about like the Falcon and the reveal and the feels that they gave us. Because I know it gave me feels the first time. I was like, yay!
You know what's funny? I don't feel stuff like that.
Really?
Isn't that like when I'm like when Han Solo shows up for the first time or anything like?
Really?
It doesn't affect me that way.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. I get affected by. Humor and dialogue, but generally not when like characters show up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So sometimes those are some of the most powerful moments for me. Sometimes
this could be blasphemous.
Okay.
I don't love Han Solo the way that most people do.
Okay. He's not my favorite character. Like he is most people's favorite character.
Yeah. He's fine.
But I
like
him
and I love Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Richard Kimball forever, but, but I don't, Han doesn't hit me the same way, but when Vader's helmet shows up, I got super excited.
Okay.
Or even when Luke shows up, I get excited. Here's the thing. I don't really give a damn about anything that's not Jedi in Star Wars.
Because you really are in it for the
fantasy aspect, not the science fiction aspect. So I'm like, cool, you're a smuggler. Great job. You know, but it doesn't hit me the same way.
Yeah. Do you like Westerns?
Generally, I don't. It takes a bit for me to fall into a Western. I've seen Westerns that I love.
Yes.
Yeah.
But generally, as a genre, you're not like, oh boy, Westerns.
But I will not watch every Western that comes across my lap.
Okay, well, neither will I. I don't love Westerns that much, but I really, really enjoy the outlaw cowboy archetype.
Most of the time, don't give a damn.
Okay. Yeah. I think we just found maybe something, one of the things that's at the crux of our like disagreement on, fantasy versus sci-fi versus like maybe one of the things you prefer sort of the Jedi in the prequels. Did you really enjoy seeing like the Jedi temple and all that?
Just when the Jedi are like, blah, 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 politics, blah, 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 wave forest, blah, 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 war. And I'm like,
That was cool.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I loved all of that. I don't care if what they were talking about was mumbo jumbo.
I love seeing, and maybe this is why you wouldn't like Firefly so much.
That's possible because it's just a lot of smugglers.
It's a lot of that. So it's a lot of heist stuff. It's a lot of,
there's
basically a Han Solo character, Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes. But that's exactly it's fine. And I mean, like, if it's funny and snappy and whatever else, I can certainly get into it.
You'll
for that reason.
Yeah.
Like, I love the dynamic between Han and Chewie.
Yeah.
I mean? Yeah. Or just, but yeah.
Right.
Just,
it's not like you have no appreciation whatsoever. But,
right. Except, and I don't hate it because otherwise I certainly wouldn't be watching these films.
Yeah. Okay. I just discovered something about you there.
Yeah.
So this guy has a terrible task in front of him.
This guy I love. See, this is what this film does well, where you think it's going to give you what you know.
Yes.
And it just subverts it. It tilts it on an angle. I always wonder why he stands like this, though. Like that pullaway shot where it's a wide shot and he's kind of hunched over and looking back. I'm like, that looks really uncomfortable.
It's very awkward.
Why would you stand like that? We know how this is going to go. He's going to die. Nope. He's going to have a fit and destroy the computer.
Yep.
And I love that it keeps doing that. You know, like when Rey calls him out and she says, you know, like, blah, 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 you know, so scary with the helmet, blah, 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 whatever she says. And he takes it off. And that, again, is a, you don't think he's going to take off the clothes in front of her, but he does. And yes, I referred to his helmet as clothes.
I was going
to
say, okay.
For the joke, because everyone was listening, just tilted their head slightly.
When did I miss that?
Now laughing at the fact that they tilted their head.
And he does choke him, but not force choke. He pulls him
forward and chokes him with his hand. Yeah. Maybe because he can't force choke. We have not seen him do that. He doesn't know how.
That's an interesting theory. I hadn't thought about that, but that's very possible.
I do see this film's cut very well. Because, you know, he says, what girl? Boom, cut to Rey.
You know. That's what you should do.
That's a good editor.
I have a question coming up for you.
I love his little backup. Like, yes, I'm not with like, resistance. What? Okay, what?
I don't know if I trust you.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite BB-8 scenes.
Droid, please.
Actually, this is one of my favorite scenes in the film.
Me too.
You know, go on, BB-8, tell her. Flip. Yeah. Yeah. The Ilenium system.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
What a gif of that.
Do you agree?
All the time, forever.
Do you agree that that's a thumbs up?
Yeah, of course.
Back?
Yeah, it's a thumbs up.
I heard someone argue.
It's a middle finger.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No way.
No, it's
no
a thumbs up.
No way. Everything
yep,
about this scene.
One, no. No. The one I'm pointing to. No. No.
No.
Yeah. They have amazing chemistry. These two. Incredible chemistry.
They have amazing chemistry.
Yeah. You got a boyfriend? Cute boyfriend? Yeah, see, again. The dialogue.
Yes.
You got a family? You got a boyfriend? Cute boyfriend? Yeah. That's not it's not Star Wars dialogue.
The word boyfriend has not existed in Star Wars ever until
that's
now, right?
It, that's like, it. Or, yeah, there's a couple of, you know, did you see that? Did you see
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
It's not a Star Wars thing.
Droid, please. Like,
yeah.
That would never happen.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it. Like, I was very conscious of it.
You got to move it forward.
I was very conscious of it while I was, during my first viewing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this doesn't really feel like Star Wars, but I don't mind it at all.
I think it's
at all.
I think it's very of the type of film that's out now, too. You know,
it is, but I don't. But it
doesn't
I,
take itself too seriously all the time.
But there is something. So Star Wars has a very, you know, Flash Gordon style to it.
Yeah.
Typically with the wipes and the dialogue and like mm-hmm. it's always that way. In fact, that's one of the things I think George Lucas. I think in George Lucas's mind, he always wanted the films to be kind of the way the prequels are.
Yes.
In terms of the dialogue even and everything.
That's right.
Like, he wanted that and he never quite made it that way
so
until
the prequels are the films that he wanted to make originally.
So to him, like, the ones that we love the most, the original trilogy, are
not his pure Star Wars.
They're not what he wanted to achieve, and he finally pulled off what he wanted to. Applause. Every time I watched it in theaters.
Yeah, I like that they built in time for an applause.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed that, you know, like, there's enough space in there so you don't miss the
between
line.
That and Chewie, we're home.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. Now, this guy playing Chewie walking is the guy from Norway? He's from... I'm going to look it up because this one is... I'll actually use a lookup.
Isn't he like...
It's not Peter
no, Mayhew
only
Mayhew.
Did the sitting scenes.
Yes. Because he's got bad knees.
Yeah, terribly bad knees. Yeah.
Yes, he's had... surgery, and I think he walks with a cane and everything, so he can't quite. He's not very mobile, but yeah, he did get to still be Chewie for some parts of the movie. But yeah, could you tell the difference? Could you tell this was a different guy?
No,
yeah, neither could I.
Jonas Suotamo,
and he
is from Finland.
Finland.
He's isn't 29 he
like,
from Finland.
Isn't he like a banker or something?
He is
like
a basketball player.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah,
never mind. Peter Mayhew was like an orderly at a hospital, I believe.
Oh, really?
Before, yeah.
No, the smuggler. Wasn't he a war hero? Not really.
That reaction got some laughs.
Yeah.
And the 14 parsecs. Yeah, 12.
14.
14.
Oh, Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Glad I'm in this movie. I broke my leg shooting this, so.
Yeah,
but it's okay. Yeah,
the smile on his face. The smile on his face, man.
I was listening to an interview with J.J. Abrams, and he was talking about Harrison being in the movie because the question he was like, he was always so curmudgeon-y for so long. And he said that he was never once curmudgeon-y
on set.
And he said it actually didn't even take a lot of convincing for him to do this film because Harrison said he's like, he'd never just given it thought. Like, he just didn't care to give it thought. To like, what would you do? What would you come back? Blah, blah, blah. I want to actually pause that story to talk about this scene right here. Because I think the way that Han delivers his line is very telling to his relationship with Luke at the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I knew him. Look at his face. I knew him. He's kind of like, yeah, that bastard. I knew him.
Yeah.
Sorry, I want to keep swearing. I apologize. So
Rathtar, what?
Yeah.
Rathtar's hammer? What?
Wrath by Rathtar's hammer. yeah. So I think that's telling as to what happened between them, that Han isn't so thrilled about Luke at the present moment.
For whatever reason that might be. Perhaps because his son is a sissy pants now.
Yep, that could
who
be.
Knows?
I mean, yeah, it could be like, yeah, I knew him before my son drove him away.
Yeah, right.
You know,
or Luke. Yeah, I knew Luke before
the dark time.
Before the first order.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, going back, JJ says to him, or says about him that he had such a great time with John Boyega and Daisy Ridley. And, you know, and he said he got, yes, I do, every time. A great line.
There's such good interplay between the two of them.
Yeah, some of the best, I think, in four films. I think this is the best that they've ever been together.
I think it's the most we've, definitely the most we've gotten of them too. Mm-hmm. Together,
you know? That's true. Normally, sometimes they get separated or there's other people in the way.
Yes, but I mean the most banter.
Yeah. This is also the first time, really, besides smuggling Obi-Wan and Luke, that you actually get to see Han Solo be a smuggler.
Yes.
And, yep, as you suspected, he's not that great at it. Yeah.
Yes.
You know. So, but they say that he got Carrie Humor's intelligent sense of humor that a lot of people tend to not understand. And they had a bunch of laughs, and he was fantastic the whole time. And he said that, you know, being older himself now, playing a character that ultimately faces his demise, he is now staged at a way to understand and enjoy himself more than, you know, when you're 30 and you're like, ah, just kill him. I don't care. I'm going to live forever because I'm 30 years old, you know, or whatever. You know, he's facing mortality in a different way, you know, particularly even with his leg and then the plane crash and like all these things that, you know, combined together to create, you know, more, you know, well-rounded human being.
Yes.
That's not curmudgeon-y.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's good is it's just nice to see him be happy doing something.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I love seeing him happy.
Yeah.
That shot is great. I love that the subtitles we have for Kenja Club look like
they're different. Then
they look old fashioned, like
yes.
The font, the choice of font, even the color of the font and the drop shadow on it kind of looks like, you know, when someone is being hot teased or something. Like
good call. I didn't think about that.
It looks like an old, like in the 70s or 80s
movie. Club. Yeah. Did you know that the red helmets?
Oh, yeah.
That was an original design for Kylo Ren's helmet.
Yes. I remember seeing that in the visual dictionary. Or somewhere.
It might have been in my concept art book. Art design.
Yes, but yeah, I remember seeing that and commenting to you, I think probably off air, like, oh, they ended up using that for those guards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. These creatures, the Wrathars, they feel like a J.J. Abrams alien.
He has very much a style, a type of aliens, whether it's Cloverfield or the aliens
in Star Trek. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They feel like JJ. Not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
No. Based on a rolling dog ball.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. Fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm full of good bits.
You are.
Yeah. Well, I do my research before commenting, you know. you know, oh, she's upset. It's fine. He's lucky that Finn doesn't die.
The only reason he doesn't die...
because he needs to propel the plot forward later.
It's because he's a main character. That's another... It's a small flaw, and it's not something we're going to hold against the movie, but it is a flaw, you know,
This is a movie that nothing would happen if the characters didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't mean that. I mean, I guess that's probably... I mean...
There are two types of stories, right? There's the one that the character... If a character stays in a room forever, nothing happens because the character moves the plot forward.
Yes.
Or something's going to happen to that character because the plot deems it necessary.
Yes.
And this is a plot. This is the plot deems it necessary kind of movie. So they do things, you know, he doesn't die. He moves to this corner. She is there. He is there at this moment,
but
blah, blah, blah.
Yes. That's all true. But I think
not a criticism.
Just
literary analysis.
But my, yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
But my criticism is that it's convenient that the only person that the Wrathar captured but didn't eat was Finn.
Yes. Also, yeah, very true. Is it weird that when Han shoots it, they go flying, but when Chewie shoots it, they don't?
That's true. I hadn't really noticed that. But you're right. It's also odd to me that in 30 years... plus that they've been friends.
He's
the first
never
time
used his weapon. Yeah.
I like this thing.
Maybe it's a new bowcaster.
Maybe.
You know, maybe he got an upgrade. You know, something like that. I don't know.
Maybe.
Although Han always kind of, you know, like, I'm going to use my gun because it's my gun.
Yes.
You know, that's, you know. I like that this film also, it gives reason for a co-pilot. You know,
yes, it finally explains, like, oh, because there are things that you can't reach or whatever without having a co-pilot. You need another set of hands to do everything.
The pilot flies. The co-pilot literally does everything else. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's kind of like you were saying about BB-8 before. It's like one person's steering, one person's doing the head, one person's doing the lights. You need those three people, otherwise
that's
you can't.
That's right.
It's kind of like that.
That's right. The Millennium Falcon is one giant BB-8.
That is...
not true, but true. Compressor.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Compressor.
She's so nervous. She's like, I don't want to tell you, but we're going to die, so I'm going to tell you. You know, I don't want to tell you. He definitely just killed those people, too. Like, blasting out into light speed. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But does he care? Probably not.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Notice, there are rocket thrusters on the back of, like, where that spout is.
Yes.
So it can move. Oh, it's, sorry, Lord Voldemort is talking. I can't listen to you right now. Lord Voldemort is here. His design came in very late into the game. They actually didn't really know what to do with him until, like, the wire was down, and they're like, we have to design him. I think he is actually the biggest design misstep in this film. I think he looks too much like a mix between Lord Voldemort and Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
And being played by Andy Serkis doesn't help the Gollum
thing. That is very true.
And so I think he could have looked a lot more outlandish.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you think a few months ago, I believe you thought he was...
I want to see their relationship explored.
I do too.
Hux and Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There are chairs there too. That's a meeting hall. I noticed that when I watched it. Mm-hmm. Your screen's kind of dark. But anyway, I'm sorry. Talk about things. I cut you off. I do that
No, no, that's okay. That's okay. Do you think he is Darth Plagueis?
You know, I think that somebody came out from the production and flat out said he's not Darth Plagueis. But you know what? Benedict Cumberbatch wasn't Khan, so...
I don't think they'd do that again.
No, I don't think so either. I think they learned their lesson with that, yeah. But...
because this is Bad Robot still. You know
right.
I mean?
But I think he was... I kind of think he is still. You know, I've heard a lot of, you know, Snoke is just Snoke, but... I don't know, because their relationship is so open and unexplored. Like Snoke has known about Ben Solo since he was born, and you know, kind of the way that, you know, the Emperor manipulated Anakin from a early age. I think Snoke manipulates, you know, Ben Solo from an early age in a way. Otherwise, how he ends up with him, knowing he's going to be powerful. You know, like the special features, they talk a bit about, you know, Kylo, Ben Solo feeling shortchanged because each of his parents are so high powered and working for their own interests and trying to reestablish the Republic or whatever else. He's kind of in a way left in the dust, and that's where his resentment comes from, because he had absent parents, both of them. And, you know, like, he was essentially sent off to boarding school.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know, like, I don't have time for you to be sent off. And that's, I think that's the, you know, where a lot of that anger comes from. And Snoke, in a way, has to, like, not exude evilness, I guess.
Evilness.
To be taken seriously.
Yeah, he needs to get...
Like the Emperor, you know, Chancellor Palpatine did not exude evilness, you know, until it was too late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
he didn't want to scare him away. He didn't want to scare him off. He wanted to attract him in, lure him in.
Right. Did you also know that in one of the deleted scenes, Han figured out that Finn was not with the Resistance because of his boots, that he knew he was wearing First Order Stormtrooper boots? And, you know, between that and the face, he was like, yeah, I got that.
That seems like something...
a stretch, which is why it's a deleted scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it seems like something that would be in a novelization.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't believe it was, though.
No, I don't think it was either, but it sounds like the kind of thing that would be.
Yeah.
You know, it fits, and it's very much in line with those sort of things.
Yeah. Movies do love their heroes that give up and go away, don't they? Yeah.
He felt responsible, so he left.
Jedi like, no more.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. It always bothered me. Why was there a map to Luke Skywalker specifically until I figured out that it's not a map to Luke Skywalker. It's a map to the first Jedi temple.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they think Luke is.
Right.
But it took a couple, it took my own mind map to get there. You know, this is a great moment in the, basically the same spot that he stood 30 years ago, yes. 30 plus years ago saying it's a bunch of hokum and nonsense.
Simple tricks and nonsense.
Yep, really.
Yeah, almost literally the same spot.
Yeah, right there.
It's the same room.
Where he's standing right now.
Yeah.
And that was the seat. So, yeah. It's just things like that that make you appreciate the film more, but it doesn't detract from the film.
No.
It's a different kind of Easter egg. You know what I mean? Easter egg with purpose.
Mm.
Dakar is very beautiful. I would like to live there, please.
It is.
Now and forever.
Very beautiful, very Naboo-like.
Yeah, a little bit. I feel bad for Rey in this moment. You know, I didn't know there was this much green in the whole galaxy.
Yeah. And even Hondo's. Just... Look at and then yeah, he's annoyed by her. At first, he's like, oh, typical.
Yeah. Oh, I feel bad. Oh, wait, no, I'm Han Solo. No,
yeah,
I don't feel bad. Yeah.
This looks like a Jedi Temple a little bit.
A little bit. There was a lot of speculation as to, you know, I remember this thing, people thinking it was Yavin.
Mm.
And, you know, all that stuff. But nope, that is not the case. So pretty. Real locations. That's what I'm talking about here. Did you just call me Solo? Yeah. Sorry. Hot. Mr. Solo. Is the word Mr. ever thrown around? Yeah. I don't think Mr. is anything that you get.
Maybe not, no.
Qui-Gon, sir? I don't want to be a problem.
Yeah.
Nope.
I can hear Han being like, not this ship, sister.
Yeah, he says sister.
Sister, but not mister.
Not this ship, mister. Did you just call me mister? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Mister might be a first. There's a lot of that. A lot of like vernacular, you know, that's sort of thrown in here.
Yeah. His line to her at that moment, she's like, I can handle myself. And he says, I know you do. And it really should be, I know you can. And it really bothers me.
No. You're missing the intent there.
Why?
She says, I think I can handle myself. And he says, I know you do.
I don't think I've ever heard her say think.
That's why he's giving her the gun. He's saying, I know you think you can handle yourself. That's why I'm giving you this gun.
Oh, that's way better intent. This line makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Now. Thank you for being here with me to talk this through.
Because that struck me too. I was like, why did he say do? Oh, because he means. Like,
I had to think it through. Yeah.
The first time even, I had to think it through. I was like, why do you say do? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you know that, it's like, oh, you're being a dick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're just being a jerk.
Han Solo. You're just being Han. Yeah. Yeah. I like, we talked about earlier, this is parallel between, you know, like, obviously people are, you know, it's a New Hope. Redone, you know, and all that stuff.
Sure.
But it's from a different point where all Luke wants to do is leave his planet, and all she wants to do is remain and stay. And Luke's like, can't wait to get away from my family, and all she wants is her family back. And there's this nice juxtaposition between them.
Definitely.
Even, you know, he being a boy and that's a girl.
That droid is very much similar design to her speeder back on.
Yes, that droid is also a person on stilts.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yep. If you want to talk real. The Maz's castle, I thought, could have lasted a little longer, could have stretched out looking around. You know, it felt a little like, I want to see the stuff, you know, but now I can pause it and see the stuff. So pause it right now. No, I'm just kidding. All good things. Warwick Davis is going to be around here somewhere. Ah, my girl, Maz Kanata. I love her so much. Han Solo.
Like, wow.
There he is. That's Warwick Davis. The little beige one with the little nose. Mm, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh, boy.
Cool. Hey, Maz.
Yeah. This is... Oh, she's... Where's my boyfriend?
Again, boyfriend. Three times, second time. Third time.
I mean, really. Like that Wookiee. I assume you need something. Desperately. All right, let's go. This girl, the pink girl, looks at Cara Delevingne, and it's not her, and it kind of weirds me out how much they look alike.
I see it, though.
Mm-hmm.
This music was by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, of Hamilton fame. He was, a few weeks before the movie came out, he was on a talk show with JJ, and JJ was like, oh man, like, I love
your stuff. There's that old text again.
Right. I think we're going to see it, yep, again now.
Cara Delevingne being evil, but not really, because it's not her.
Anyway, they met backstage at one of the late night shows, and he was like, hey, I love your work, and he was like, oh man, I'd love to, like, be in Star Wars. And I was like, actually, we need someone. John Williams doesn't want to write the our, like, cantina music for this movie, so would you like to do this? And he was like, yeah,
so I do. Oh, fun. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I don't think it's catchy.
It's not as catchy as.
But I like that it's in a very different direction.
Yes.
So Jedi rocks. I'll tell you that, in a good way or a bad way. I liked the scene very much.
Me too.
I have a fun fact about this scene as well. That it was originally filmed with him taking his helmet off in this scene.
I think I remember hearing that.
And I like that it's on because he just wants to be his grandpa so bad. And grandpa never took off his mask. You know what I mean?
Not if you could help it.
Not if you could help it.
Plus, it has more impact to not see that until later.
I agree. Oh, that's the moment. See, that gave me the funds.
That's another one that if I hadn't seen it in the trailer, this would have had so much more weight. But I didn't see it coming right this second.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, it still had some impact.
Right.
Some surprise.
Yes, I agree. But you know that scene where he takes off his helmet and puts it down in the ashes?
Yes.
That scene has been explained recently.
So I've heard someone theorize that those are Vader's ashes.
They are not.
Okay.
Though that person might have been me, because that's what I thought.
Maybe it was.
I don't remember. But I'm sure other people thought it as well.
I heard it in more than one place. I think,
That's what I thought. They are not. They are the ashes of his victims.
Okay.
That he collects and keeps, because sometimes, you know, like General Grievous collected lightsabers.
Sure.
Or
trophies.
Yeah, he collects the ashes of his victims like a true emo Jedi would. And that scene was filmed with him putting the helmet down, then talking to Vader's mask. But it was taken out when they decided to keep the helmet on to that time. So they implanted it when he takes off his helmet when he talks to Rey.
Interesting.
Because so JJ said, hey, we used to put it down very gingerly on a table, which doesn't have the same effect.
Yeah.
So that's where they put it in, and it works really well.
It does work really well.
Yeah. Maz Kanata and her funny glasses. Oh, man, she's so fun. She's right up there with my love of Tiny. She's got that Yoda spunk, like, how you get so big eating food of this kind?
Yes,
you know, that's, that's my favorite. That's my favorite Yoda. And that's what she's got. I like the way he delivered this line. His skin is so shiny. So shiny. He hasn't cleaned that sweat off yet. It's just so shiny. Lost my thought.
Well,
doesn't matter.
So I want to talk about, what do you think, what kind of adventures do you think she and Han have had together?
Ooh, good question. I don't think she's ever gone off and done stuff with him, but I think certainly she holds a neutral zone. She holds a neutral ground.
The neutral zone.
Yeah. Nope. Stop it. Yeah.
I'm just
doing it to mess with me. I know. Yeah. Well, you didn't mention the Kelvin Ridge. So,
oh, that's
congratulations.
True. So, yeah. Oh, wait. Did we talk about this?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Did we? That's something that, so that was J.J. Abrams' grandfather's name, I believe?
Yes, Kelvin. I think so.
So he tries to work it in everywhere he can. That's why this is Kelvin.
Yep.
That's why this is Kelvin Ridge.
Yeah. Who's the girl? I love this Crimson Crusader, Crimson Corsair,
Crimson
whatever it is.
Crusader.
I think it's Crimson Corsair, I think, because there's a children's book, and I'm pretty sure it's Crimson Corsair. Who, he does have a real alien name, but that's what the title of the book is, and I love his helmet design. It's so fun. I love it.
When she says, who's the girl, I presume that there is that we were not shown that.
For a purpose?
For a purpose, because Han knows who she is.
I think Han knows who she is.
Yeah.
When she says, I never imagined this much green in the whole galaxy, he gives her that, like, we joked, but I think it was like, yeah, about that. You know, I feel
he
bad.
He knows more.
I think he knows more. And I don't think Leia necessarily
you're from a place
knows
like this
more.
Or whatever.
It just might be that Han knows, interesting, but Leia doesn't.
Yeah, could be.
You know, who knows? Who? Well, somebody knows, obviously. You know, but who's to say who that is? You know, JJ? Maybe. Maybe it's Daisy Ridley. Maybe it's not.
Probably JJ.
I'm going to assume. I hope JJ probably knows. JJ, if anybody knows, it's Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is, yes, that is probably true. I would say JJ and Kasdan definitely know. And is Kasdan writing episode 8 as well?
No.
No.
No. Rian Johnson.
Rian Johnson is.
Rian Johnson is writing 8 and 9 and directing 8.
Okay. Solo writing?
Hmm. Solo writing.
Writing solo?
Yeah. Yeah. Colin Trevorrow is directing 9.
9, yeah.
But with Rian Johnson's script.
That's a very... It's a very interesting choice, Colin Trevorrow. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens when we get there.
Yeah.
Let's get through 8 first, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice. Though I like Jurassic
World. I like him as... Yeah. That's the only one of his films I've seen, so...
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. It's fine. It's good. It had dinosaurs.
I like those. Those are good.
This scene, I want to talk about her talking with Finn actually first. Very interesting placement that she's taller than him and looking down on him, begging, and he's looking up at her like she is something greater than he can hope to achieve. If they were at equal eye level, perhaps he would have stayed, but it's an odd place. Like, it's a placement that he can't reach her level, so he's going to leave.
That's a very good observation.
Thank you.
Really good literary analysis there.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for. I could probably do more in every scene, but we've been chatting over some of them, so we'll just have to comment again.
Oh, man.
No, episode 102. The commentary.
Return of the comments.
Yeah. No, no thank you.
No. What if we did a commentary on our commentary? Like, what if we listened to our commentary and talked over that?
Oh, my God. Be like, who are these losers? I hate the sound of my own voice. I hate the sound of my voice.
Now, I've been looking forward to rewatching this sequence
very
at home
much so.
And being able to like
pause it
and stuff.
Yeah, we can't do that now.
Not now, but I am looking forward to it.
Yeah. I got you on my arm. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Daisy Ridley, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Not the lightsaber, obviously. No, just kidding. JK. Now,
so there's Cloud
City. She is looking at arguably the Darth Vader, Luke fight.
Yes, she's watching it.
Surrounds us and binds us.
So there we see his robo hand.
His robo hand with some hail.
Yep.
And now we're on a terrible place. There's a little castle thingy in the back. Actually, that could be Jakku. Because that could be actually a moisture farm behind her.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that's very interesting.
Something like that.
I wonder if we'll see
could be
little...
Tatooine also.
Yes.
Something like that. That's the Starkiller base light going out.
Uh-huh.
You know.
And now here she's seeing the future.
Yep.
Right? She's just a vision of what's going to happen to her. In the movie.
Yeah, like Luke does in Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So... I wonder how many of these things are past and how many are future, what she just watched.
I think it starts in the past and moves towards the future. Well, I mean, because it starts with Empire,
right?
So it starts with the lost lightsaber and moves forward.
Okay. So you don't... Do you think the light... No, never mind.
No.
Never mind. I was going to say, do you think the lightsaber is present in all of those moments we just saw? But no, it can't be.
No. Well...
I mean, it could be there when she's being sent off. It could be. But I don't think it's there when the Knights of Ren are there.
No, I don't think so. However, we don't know the path of the lightsaber from Cloud City to Moss's castle.
Also, didn't we see the Knights of Ren before we saw her as a little girl?
Yes.
I don't know if the timing really works out. I don't know if Ben can really be that old.
No, I don't think that's Ben's daughter.
No, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't think
Ben Solo.
For him to have been an adult.
Oh, I thought you meant Ben.
Oh, sorry,
Ben,
no.
Stupid names.
Sorry, yeah.
Repeating names.
No, not Obi-Wan. I don't think that Ben could be an adult at some point in time before she was a little girl. He couldn't be a Knight of Ren. So I don't know if that's in chronological order, but from oldest to most recent.
Oh, Good point. I never thought about that. Because they're about the same age.
I think they are, yes.
Yeah.
Whether they're related or not, I don't know. I'm reserving judgment on that. But
yeah.
I agree. I think they're around the same age.
She's late teens, early 20s, supposed to be, arguably. He's mid-20s.
Yeah, he's a little older.
Maybe pushing 30.
Right, but that's it.
But I think that's where they're kind of supposed to be placed. Not necessarily that's how old the actors are, because she's 22, 23, something like that.
I agree with you. I think that they are supposed to be about the same difference in age as Han and Luke are.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
This
let's talk about General Hux.
Yes, okay.
We haven't talked about him yet.
We haven't. Domhnall Gleeson having the
Domhnall. Yeah,
having the year of his life in 2015.
Oh my God, Brooklyn, Star Wars, The Revenant. He was. All over. He
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. 4 Oscar-nominated movies in 1 year.
And still many
And still
people,
the son of Brendan Gleeson. Good for him.
And still many people don't know his name.
I know. Oh, I love him.
Incredible
He's so
actor.
Good.
Going now, full Hitler here.
He plays this part like he's in the 70s. I talked about Oscar Isaac playing it kind of like he was... Oh, his eyes were burning with hatred.
I mean, really.
Yeah. He, when I first saw the scene, I was like, oh my God, calm down. But then you get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he is truly playing this. He was truly playing it like he was Peter Cushing, you know, just a little over the top.
Way more over the top than Peter Cushing. I disagree. Peter Cushing was much more muted.
I'm sorry, actor of the 70s, you know, or okay. the 80s, you know, like an over enunciating,
yes.
you know, Agreed. Sneering, yeah. you know, like I'm a bad guy because
yes.
I'm a bad guy.
Yes, yes.
And there's no subtlety. He wears it on his sleeve. Very of the Star Wars style. Wear it on your sleeve. There's no subtlety here. Yeah. We have no time for subtlety in the original Star Wars trilogy.
Yep.
And particularly in Star Wars, not necessarily Empire or Jedi, but in New Hope, there's no subtlety.
Correct.
Everybody wears their emotions on their sleeves. Everybody's intent is well known. This is not Coruscant.
No. It's supposed to be that the capital is sort of a floating location.
Between those five planets. Mm-hmm. And they hold their Senate meetings on a different planet every mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. And they just destroyed all of them. That's
and
unfortunate.
The...
And they're somehow seeing it in real time.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Nope, don't care. This movie's about space lasers.
Exactly.
Don't care. Yeah.
Space lasers.
Yeah, well.
The robot from Metropolis is behind them.
I know, I love that. It's kind of the robot from Metropolis. It's also the first design of C-3PO.
Yes, it is.
Which I think is based on the first robot, the robot of Metropolis, the traffic robot from Metropolis. Or whatever. It's not a traffic robot. That's a dude in a bucket. I gotta watch Metropolis again.
Same. Actually,
it's been a long time.
Long time.
He is rather large.
Yeah, he's bigger than you think.
Yeah.
He is bigger. BB-8 is bigger than you think.
Yeah. I wonder what new clothes Rey is going to get.
I don't know.
You know, because she wears that gray thingy at the end, you know, mm-hmm. with the, but Apocalypse Now.
That scene, the Lucas film or the ILM guy who worked on that shot mm-hmm. Is on Twitter. His name is Todd Vaziri.
Yep.
Vaziri. And he is really, really great on social media, great on Twitter. He tweets a lot about his work. Mm. And after his films come out, he talks a lot about them and gives a lot of insight, you know, whatever he's allowed to say. He worked on this, and he also worked on Batman v Superman and talked a lot about it
mm-hmm.
On Twitter. So it was really, really cool. But he was very, very proud of that shot, as he should be. It's an awesome,
yeah, it's
awesome
a gorgeous shot.
Yeah.
And
it's totally inspired by Apocalypse Now. There's no...
Oh, yeah. See,
you know,
yeah.
There's no shame in that.
No.
There goes the council.
Steal
from
the best.
So good.
Safety.
Safety.
I actually really like the design of this blaster. I don't know why I like it so much. She's a good shot. And now I've realized I just killed somebody.
Yep, the look of horror.
But I'm over it now.
But now it's like almost like a bloodthirst that's like...
Isn't it so funny that we can watch a film like Batman v Superman and look at it and be like, oh my God, Batman killed all those people, mm-hmm. or whatever. And then mm-hmm. you watch movies like this where they literally kill everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Skywalker is a serial killer of thousands, if not millions of people. And we're like, yeah, I'm good with it.
Serial killer.
He is.
He is.
He's not exactly a serial killer.
He kills thousands of people when blowing up that Death Star.
Yeah, but that's not what a serial killer is.
Yeah, I know. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Mass
he is a
murderer.
Mass murderer.
Yes.
He is absolutely a mass
murderer. I used
murderer.
Bullseye mechanics and engineers back home.
Yeah. Serial killers are born out of killing animals when yes. you're young. I love his lazy fighting. Like that.
Yes.
Is a, he
so
holds his gun so whimsy.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was pretty good, but I'm glad he brought the floppy gun back.
Yes. Yeah. Has he ever done that before where he just, shoot someone without even looking?
No, he has never done that. He is a better shot than he's ever been.
This is literally like from Zelda where it's like, take this.
But
when she gives him the lightsaber.
Oh, yeah. You're like, here.
Yeah.
Finn has gained 10 perseverance points or whatever. Yeah.
I like this thing.
As you should.
Oh, man.
I think it's real funny that
TR8R.
Yeah.
Which is not his real name, but
it is now.
But it's a funny.
He has a gun and just goes for the stun baton instead.
Yep.
People are like, "How is it blocking the lightsaber? That's new technology." Forgetting that General Grievous's droids could also do that all the way back in Revenge of the Sith.
Well, it didn't bother me just because it's like the Well, I guess he's not hitting it on the part that's like electrified or whatever. So, actually, never mind.
Yeah, the electrified field blocks the lightsaber.
Yeah, but that's not the part that's hitting the lightsaber.
Oh, I don't care. It's fine.
It is fine.
I just don't
care. It is fine.
Yeah. It's whatever. At this point, if you haven't figured out how to block a lightsaber, then, come on.
Yeah. Kyber crystals be damned.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Indistinct radio chatter. But how am I to know?
Distinctify it.
Distinctify it. my goodness. See, this is a scene in which you
it's the resistance.
This is a scene in which you really do see the First Order troopers like really are quite good at their jobs. Because despite the resistance
they
showing up and all that stuff, they still won that day. You know,
yes.
They won that battle.
They still destroyed Maz's castle.
Yeah, exactly.
They were going to win. They were going to have all the prisoners. Like they were winning.
Yep,
they were absolutely winning.
One of the deleted scenes shows that they showed up at this moment because they were tracking the Millennium Falcon. Leia had trackers like looking out for it the same way.
I love that.
Yeah, like the Falcon showed up. Go to where the Falcon is because Lord knows that's probably where Han is.
Could she not see it while it was on Jakku because it was in the Outer Rim or whatever?
Yes. Sure. That sounds
That's a good reason that we would go with.
Yes. At this point, you actually see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stormtroopers, 7, 8, 9 10. Poe takes out 10 TIE fighters in 10 seconds.
Yeah. That's one hell of a pilot.
He is a better pilot than anybody in the universe.
Oh, yes.
No question. Luke doesn't take out that many. Han doesn't take out that many. Like, he is the best pilot. He is the best pilot in the galaxy, bar none. No questions asked.
We have never seen anybody like that.
No.
Not Anakin, nobody.
No. Isn't it interesting that the two times that she fights Kylo Ren in this movie, she gets trapped in a little rock quarry?
Hmm.
Like, she gets trapped in a little hallway of rocks. Once on a jungle planet
hallway
and once on a snowy planet.
That's a good way of describing it, hallway of rocks.
It's a hallway of rocks.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
He is so unconcerned with moving quickly.
Yeah. And look at, like, the look of defeat on her face. Like, please, please,
yeah,
please.
She's like,
just let one of these work.
That was cool. And I can't tell why I like it so much.
I like that. So, like, her hands are still, like, trembling, right?
Yeah.
And I like that when she gets frozen like that, she
let it go?
Yes. No, what's interesting is they did something different here where instead of just being frozen in place,
mm-hmm.
It's like her arm goes back and then comes forward a little bit. Like, it winds back a little bit. And then, so, like, there's this rapid movement thing going on where they're like, like I said, trembling sort of.
Yeah.
But they're also like they wind the action back and then forward again.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a good little editing technique.
Yeah. I like it. I like the way they did that.
He must be really hot on that jungle planet.
Oh my God. Right.
Yeah. Ugh. You really should have chosen your clothes wisely.
I bet the fabric breathes.
Yeah. I bet it doesn't on purpose.
Oh, just so he broods more.
Fainting force powers? What do you think about that?
Force fainting.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
I like that his ship looks like a giant bat, though.
You would.
He would.
No, you would.
Tell me that doesn't look like a bat.
Of course it does. Yeah. I'm saying you would like that.
Yeah, well, I like it because bats are, you know, brooding
they
and have
me.
No parents. Get it?
Brooding and have no parents.
I know. He probably can't see a thing in that helmet either.
Probably not.
No. I think that when he looks around at things, I'm like, what do you actually see?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Like, actually nothing.
It's kind of like when you look at Iron Man and you see his little eye slits and you're like, you actually can't see anything.
You're blind.
Yeah.
Didn't
you're blind like an Iron Man.
Affleck say like he couldn't see a thing in that mask?
Yeah, they used the joke like I think it was Zack Snyder talks about like he had no peripheral vision in the Batman, so he would bump into stuff all the time.
Right, that's it. Yeah. Yes, that's remember. Which is super funny to me.
I like the way Han brushed him off. He's like, he's got Rey, and he's like, yeah, it's fine. I got an angry wife to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And she's like, there you are.
See this moment. My heart. I know, hearing that theme.
La. Oh, goodness. Han Solo. Ruining moments for 30 years plus.
Oh, my God,
plus.
For real.
Han, 60 years, right? Yeah, 60 years.
What do you mean 60 years?
C-3PO has been ruining moments.
Oh, because? Because
going back all the way to Phantom Menace.
30 years.
It's about 60 years. A little more than that. 60 plus years. Because it's from Phantom Menace to Phantom Menace to... Okay, Phantom Menace to Attack of...
We're doing the math, guys.
Phantom Menace to Attack of the Clones is 10 years.
Yes, that's 10.
And then it's another 5.
15.
Then it's another 20.
35.
And then it's... another 5 between New Hope and Jedi, right?
40.
It's 40 plus another 30. 70 years.
Yeah.
C-3PO has been ruining tender moments for 70 years. Nice job.
No chill,
good.
Dude.
Good. None.
No chill.
None whatsoever.
Much like we just ruined that moment with math.
Yeah, right. We ruined that whole tender moment scene. I saw her son, I think, but he was wearing a mask.
And
so.
Now imagine that you were familiar with more than 6 million forms of communication. And you're a moment.
And not one of them is the communication of love.
Nope.
The language of love.
Not one of them is the language of love.
Not at all.
We'll be right back with your calls here on Loveline.
Boom. No. Here on Loveline. I love the way that BB-8 almost takes out this guy.
Yes.
He sees Poe. He's like, oh my God, Poe's alive. Here he goes.
Like, one way.
Yeah, out of my way. That was David Collins, the guy that goes, hey.
Hey.
Yeah, David Collins. Yeah.
Our
guy that we don't know in real life, David Collins.
But we want to be friends with
him. Yeah, tender moment. They're going to be best friends.
Yeah, they are.
Buddy? Yeah. I think he says buddy because he doesn't remember his name.
It's like when you go to a store and they're like, hey, boss, what can I do for you?
Yeah, right. Like, you don't know.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, no, he says his name. Never mind. Yeah. It just took him a second.
I mean,
to
he gave
it.
Him his name, so.
Yeah. Keep it. It suits you. I've got 6 more just like it. Don't worry.
Yeah, right. He's got a closet full of them. The resistance.
Funded by the Senate secretly by those who think the First Order were a bigger deal than the majority thought.
Okay, so behind her, you've got her daughter.
Her daughter,
Billy
who
Lord.
Apparently will play a bigger part in Episode 8.
Oh,
she
cool.
had an interview, said that she has more to do.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. But she got the Star Puff going on.
Yeah, she does have the Star Puff going on.
And then Greg Grunberg.
Yes, JJ's friend.
They're childhood friends, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's in, like, everything that JJ does, too. He was...
Yep.
Do you know, in Star Trek, he was the voice...
He's the voice of the police officer. I'm James Tiberius Kirk.
No,
right?
He's the voice of the dad, the angry dad, like when he steals the car.
Oh, that's it. I knew he was in that scene, like, but I forgot.
You
which
bring
one
that
he was.
Car back right now. You know, like what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell him on the phone.
That Star Trek talk I allow.
Yes.
We simply do not have enough information to locate Master Luke. Everyone was all up in arms, like, why does C-3PO have a red arm? Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
He had a silver leg for a while. Like, who cares?
His head was on backwards. He had no external body.
No coverings.
No coverings.
No exoskeleton. Yeah, no coverings. Here we go. Okay. So, see, he is not that much smaller than R2-D2.
It's true. He's about half of R2-D2's size.
He's more than half. He's bigger than half. Which is, I thought
if you count the antenna, yeah. He goes up basically right up to the dome.
Yeah, and I remembered him being smaller than that, or I thought he was smaller than that until I saw a life-size replica, and then I was like, whoa.
They're so cute, all three of them together.
A little droid family.
Aww. Now, R2 has been processing all of the Empire's archive information that he has.
That's another thing that's not clear to me from the movie.
Again, I thought it was like, oh, now R2 wakes up? Right. Like,
similar
that's
to
super
the Resistance
helpful.
And the First Order stuff, like, it's not clear what he's... Is he in low power mode, like, doing, like, math calculations to figure out what piece of the map that belongs to or whatever? Like, mm-hmm. What is he doing?
He is rummaging through archive records because he has them because Luke is gone. And when BB-8 rolls up to him and hits him, he's like, yo, I have this bit of a map about Luke Skywalker. You got anything in there that's, like, about Luke Skywalker? And that's when R2 starts processing through, more specifically, like, maps and all that stuff.
That's
and
not clear.
No, it's terribly unclear, and it bothered me when I saw the first... It bothered me. I appreciate this movie now more having, like... I shouldn't have to read the book and get the dictionary and get the production guide to, like, fit all those pieces together.
Yeah. I should be able to watch the movie and get...
And get the gist.
Understand all the important pieces.
Yeah.
This dialogue
is clunky. Yeah, I know.
A little, but I don't mind it because it's very Star Wars.
Yes, again, I agree with that. Clunky dialogue is Star Wars. Though,
it is Star Wars.
I think
it's exposition. It's whatever, but it fits the universe.
I agree. I'm going to say something a little blasphemous. I think Carrie Fisher could have taken another pass on those scenes.
Maybe.
I think she could have done a little bit of a better job. But that's okay. That's okay.
That's okay.
Oh, you woke her up. Yeah. Yeah. Shh. Sorry. She was sleeping. Yeah.
Sorry, bad man.
And
he's just watching her. Like,
yeah, he's so creepy. I love Kylo Ren, though. He's like what I wanted Anakin to be.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
He's exactly what everyone wanted Anakin to be and wasn't.
Yep.
So now we got Kylo Ren instead.
Yep.
You know? But wouldn't you have loved, like, a proto Vader like this walking around with a helmet and everything like that. Yeah. I like the way that his mask shifts up. Good Lord, does he have good hair underneath that helmet? I thought it when I first saw it, took me right out. I think it would take me out if I had helmet hair too, don't get me wrong, but ashes, the dead of his victims. I like it better if it was Vader's ashes, but I still like it.
No, I kind of like this because the Vader's ashes thing seemed too implausible to me.
Oh, yeah, I could understand that. Because he could have stolen the helmet from Luke or something like that.
Yeah.
But the ashes would be a little stranger.
That should be gone by now.
Yeah. See, recovered from the archives of the Empire, but we need the last piece. He says it so quickly. If you miss that bit, then you don't get that. That map is not to Luke. It's to the First Jedi Temple where people assume Luke is.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like legend has it he went off to find the First Jedi Temple.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know where that is, you probably know where he is.
Right. Yeah,
I pretty much got that from my first.
I didn't get that the whole time. I was like, why is Luke leaving a bread? Like, why is he leaving bread?
Right, if it's a secret, why is there a map at all?
Right,
like, why would he be like, just for fun in case someone wants to try to find me later?
Yeah, just in case someone needs me. Like, the galaxy's going to be in like dire trouble again. Here's this little map, but not a complete map, you know. It makes sense that Tekka has a bit of that map. If they're Church of the Force, they are protecting components of, you know, ancient Jedi lore and all that stuff.
It makes
way more sense than, like, I have a map to Luke Skywalker. Yeah, it just seems so. That seemed very hokey to me on first viewing.
Hokey religions are no...
Yeah. Hokey plot developments are no place in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Just kidding. They are.
They
but,
are.
Yeah. Do better. This was what she auditioned with. This is what Daisy...
Really?
The scene that Daisy really auditioned with. Yeah. JJ... She cried while doing this on her first time, like, acting, like, get out of my head and all that stuff. And JJ was like, wow, that was amazing. Let's see if she can do it again. And boom, she did it again. He was like, yeah, that's what we want. Yeah.
It's been pointed out how much she bears, you know, something of a resemblance to Natalie Portman.
Yeah, I agree.
I see it.
Yeah, I thought it when she was cast.
I don't know if that's by design, if that's because she's supposed to be related to Padme in any way, but... It is an interesting thing to notice. I definitely do see it.
Yeah. I think that was one of the things that gave, like, that was one of the things that gave, strong point for, like, thinking that, you know, she's Luke's kid or that she's twins with Ben or, you know, a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, twins, I don't think. Not even siblings. It would be interesting if she was a descendant of Obi-Wan in some way. That's been thrown out there.
Yeah. I don't think the timeline is right.
I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right to the timeline.
Because she'd have to be his granddaughter.
Which is possible.
Yeah.
It is possible.
I don't like it as much.
I don't like it as much either. Because then that means that there was a whole generation of his child or children out there that we haven't known about this whole time. And that feels like...
Feels weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's retconning at that point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Illium system, huh? What? Jig is up.
Hold on. Lord Voldemort's getting a flash.
He's getting mad. Mm-hmm. Dad's mad.
Do you like the name Snoke? I do like it's the weakest name chosen out of this thing. It's just got a weird ring to it.
It makes me think of the website Snopes.
I don't know what that is.
It's like a myth-busting website. So
okay.
If you want to find out if something is a real story or if it's just like an urban legend,
okay.
Go to Snopes and they... do like the research into like this is true, this is not true, this is whatever, this is a hoax.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it always makes you think of that.
And here's Stormtrooper JB007.
Is it JB?
Yeah, it's JB007. How awesome is that?
James Bond
007. Because this is for those of you who don't know, this is Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
James Bond in the armor. He was filming Spectre at the time and went over to the studio and he was like,
"Hey, it was,
do you need an extra or anything?" Like, yeah, here's the Stormtrooper.
Yeah, Let's go.
Yeah.
Because it was at Pinewood.
Yeah, so they were filming at the same time.
So this is him, this is his voice too. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't realize, but it's him doing an American accent.
Until a certain point, and then he just gives up and does a British accent.
Yeah. I didn't really notice that he gave up, but...
Yeah, he kind of gives up halfway and just does the British accent.
But it's not recognizable because it's not his... It's his voice, but not his accent.
That's right.
Even when he gives up, it still doesn't sound quite like him, so he is sort of putting on some kind of affectation.
It's true. That's so funny, because that scene where he's, like, leaning forward, and then he straightens up, I thought in the theater the first time, I was like, wow, whoever's under there is a good actor.
Yeah.
Like, that was really well done. And then I found out it was Daniel Craig, and I was like, yeah.
And the way he just drops.
And I'll drop my weapon.
And ba-doom. Yeah. That's really good, too. Yeah, I mean, it's a first-rate actor. He is not a tall man.
Daniel Craig?
No. Yes. Correct.
Yeah.
as in, no, he's not. Yeah, he's not a tall man, so he you know, aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
I don't think they have. I think when you're starting though, you don't have the same.
The comedic
stormtroopers.
We're just gonna go this way. We're just gonna take another pass this way.
The science of this bothers me tremendously because if they burn out their sun, the planet would
have so many problems.
Yeah, just bothers me.
So many science problems. Neil deGrasse Tyson was all over this.
Yeah, like okay, I don't care if it's solar powered, but
that's not how solar power works. No,
I was afraid. That's why I don't have solar panels on my roof because that's what I thought was going to happen. Ugh, silly. Yeah,
Grunberg.
Yeah, the
Grunny.
Yeah, the science of that really bothers me.
Yeah, that I think that I'm willing to let the other thing go with like the being able to see everything in at the same time on different planets. Like,
oh yeah,
R.I.P. Akbar, the actor who voiced him.
A parsec is the unit of distance, not time.
Yeah, it's
the
same.
Like,
yes.
Whatever. Yeah.
But that bothers me. The solar thing bothers me. The actor who played Akbar, you told me this.
He just passed away
at like 92.
Yeah, 92. I think. Yeah.
And it's the same actor voicing him here, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I like that his color is also a little different than it is in Jedi.
He aged.
Like, you know, like he, like Mon Calamari has aged
a
bit.
It's been 30 years, you know?
Yeah. I've seen this guy. He was in, X-Men Last Stand.
Oh, really?
I knew he played the porcupine guy. I knew I'd seen him in things before. Oh, it was really bothering me.
Have we used a single lookup yet, by the way?
No.
We're an hour and a half into the film.
Hey, good for us. We're just a wealth of knowledge.
We are that good.
But, I mean, we might have also made grand assertions about things that were completely wrong. So,
I suppose that's
true. So, what are you going to do? I like this guy. He's got a plan. I'm an old man. And I enjoy people who have a go-get-em attitude. Han Solo.
Even if he's just a janitor.
Yeah. He doesn't know that yet. So many things.
This scene,
a lot of scenes at the back of X-Wings in this movie.
There are, aren't there?
Just a lot of back of the X-Wings.
I mean, this is like straight out of A New Hope. I feel like, you know, like getting getting ready for battle, getting the X-Wings, prepping the X-Wings.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's great. I remember that scene coming, and you thought that Poe was mad at Finn.
I thought it was aggressive. It was like,
and I was so like, it's definitely not.
No, you're right. It's bromance. I thought it was like an aggressive chest bump, you know, that like sort of trope.
Yeah.
Where two guys will be like, hey, watch where you're going, man. Get out of my way.
Yeah.
Stay out of my way. I thought it was like one of those.
Yeah, it's definitely more like, I love you, man. Come back
alive.
It was like,
all right, man, be good.
Yep.
See you on the other side.
Yeah. This scene is very cute and tender.
And this is how you know one of them's going to die, and it's probably going to be him.
Yep. And because she doesn't go. And I think it is quite odd that they don't share a kiss.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Like the hug. I mean,
they treat each other more like friends.
More like almost siblings.
Yeah. No, that's Luke's job.
But yeah, it is just like, I mean, there is
the hug isn't. Certainly this is not. But it's just so strange.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's no like, I love you, I know, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Although maybe that would have felt like a little bit too much of a.
Yeah.
Too much. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But something along those lines, at least. Something more intimate, more affectionate than just a hug. Even a hug as special meaningful. As that one, as meaningful as that one was. I still think that, I agree, a kiss would have made more sense.
Yeah.
But
that was part of his contract or her contract. Maybe. I'm not kissing him. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. This, I liked, but it's a millisecond off, a parsec off, and, you know, or whatever, they would have died, you know.
Yes, but the same goes for when they hyperspaced into Alderaan and turned out that it was not there anymore.
That's true. Although they came out of this, but they don't exit hyperspace in the planet. It was like a weird happenstance, but you're right. You're absolutely
right.
This
was more of a calculated risk. They did this on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, very.
This was so they could get past the shield.
The shield, yeah. Because science, but you know what? This movie's about space travel.
See, I'll buy that pseudoscience.
Yeah. Again, I don't. It's science fiction. It's pseudoscience everywhere. Science fiction.
That's right.
Science fiction. But sometimes it's just like, it's things like when there's no sun, the planet doesn't look like that.
Yeah,
anymore,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And how did you fire the first time? Are you surrounded by many suns? If that's so, sometimes why are you a winter planet?
It's less science and more logic sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the logic doesn't line up. But the pseudoscience is like, oh, whatever. I mean, it's your science, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Did you notice that there were no handrails on that bridge? That
I noticed the lack of handrails all the time.
Everywhere.
There are no handrails
everywhere.
In the future. Yep.
Or a long time ago. See, this is before they learned sanitation.
It's really selfish of Finn. Like, I'm just here to get Rey.
Oh,
like,
very selfish and very foolish.
Counting on us. The galaxy is counting on us. We'll use the Force.
That's not how the Force works.
Yeah.
That is one of the best lines in the whole film.
You're really, you're cold.
Yeah. That's like some of the best.
It's
lines.
Perfect. It's just Chewie just like, yeah, Ari, what's up, man? This fur is natural, but, you know, getting chilly. He is a very young general. I would love to know what he did to get there.
I'm sure there will be a novel about him.
Oh, yeah.
That threw him back.
I will read the
so hard and so fast.
I will read the Wikipedia synopsis of that article so hard.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. It did throw him so hard. Again, when Chewie fires it, they go flying.
Well, last time it was Han fired it. Oh man, she really was underused.
The Boba Fett of this movie.
But I hope there is still hope for her. We could still see her. Like, she didn't die. She didn't flat out die in this movie, so we could very well still see her.
I know for a fact that Gwendolyn Christie has said that she is returning for 8.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I think that people realized she fought for that role. Like, it was supposed to be a nothing. It wasn't supposed to be a girl or anything, and she won that part. And so I think because she was cast, people assumed it would be a bigger part.
Kind of like Max von Sydow, right?
Exactly.
We assuming assume big actor be must be a big role.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't, you know, because if we found out Daniel Craig was a stormtrooper, you know, would have been like, oh my God, it must be an important stormtrooper. But, you know, right. It's not. It's just, you know, they wanted to be in the movie. And some people, even with Simon Pegg as the alien, you know, you figure, like, is Simon Pegg going to come back multiple times? No, probably not. You
right.
know,
right.
It all fits in together that way. Why she didn't just alert, you know, turn the alarms on, I'll never know. Probably because they would have shot her in the head. But it's all good. You know. I like the black steel
yes.
look of the base as opposed to, you know, the gunmetal gray or mm-hmm. whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more sinister look and actually looks more expensive.
It looked more
you yawned
sleek.
And I burped. That was a real weird pause in the middle of this movie.
Yeah. Pulling back the curtain.
Yeah.
It's a glamorous life being a podcaster.
Oh, yeah.
Internet celebrities.
Yeah. Sitting here in my socks and nothing but.
The,
yeah.
the black metal is a sleek, modern, cool look.
It is.
Why couldn't they all come out of hyperspace?
Because not all of them are as good as a pilot as Han Solo.
Okay, fair.
They all would have, except for Poe, they probably all would have died.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. That was my assumption.
Can't wait for the...
Also because the plot demands it.
Yeah, that's all. Okay, yes, that's true.
That is an interstellar angle, if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
That interstellar Christopher Nolan invented that angle. Or his DP did, you know, either
yep.
one.
Wally Pfister.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
And
I had a comment, but I can't forget what it was.
The millions of people who saw this movie learned what an oscillator was this day.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That is not CG. That is makeup. That is a makeup head.
Nice.
That alien thing. Nice. I thought it was CG. It is not. It is a person in a suit. And I'm so thrilled every time I see that. I like his orange. I like Poe's orange and black X-wing as well. You know, is it weird? There's almost no space battles in this movie about space battles. There is when Poe and Finn escape the ship, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no movie about space battles in a movie about space battles.
That is very true.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that. As my dad once said, when he saw how much like.
What are you doing this? I'm trying to plan. Just like hits him with a gun.
I know. Hey, this is the guy that before was telling Ray not to point that thing everywhere.
Yeah,
now
he's just like
tapping him on the shoulder.
Yeah. He's getting old.
Was that Nine Numb flying?
Yeah.
Okay. Not someone.
Original actor.
Original too. Actor, too.
Nine Numb was actually just a puppet, and now he's a person, and now it's the same guy, but he's in a suit.
Well,
interesting fact.
At least he's not wearing Han Solo's clothes.
He left Cloud City in a hurry. He had no clothes. God,
except the ones he was wearing.
It's not that hard to understand. Yeah, but then you'd have to be wearing the same clothes he was wearing, and it's like hours later. Hours. What is he, a farmer? He's got to change.
Who doesn't change every 30 minutes?
Yeah. I love when Chewie picks up the coat, just like, what?
Yeah, what?
And he puts it back on, only to take it off again.
Yep.
Can't wear two coats inside. God, Chewie.
How am I going to change my clothes every 30 minutes and I'm wearing a coat?
How am I going to die elegantly with two coats on? Yeah.
Chewie, don't you know anything about dying?
God. Oh, that's harrowing. I would die so quickly.
Yep.
Yeah. So quickly would I die in this world. Yeah. That's why we like these things.
I love that we can have a conversation where I can say, was that Nine Numb? And you know what I'm talking about.
Plus, that was like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, it was. Like, it was. Because I was, truth be told, I was trying to remember his name.
Oh, I remembered it. And I think I actually said, I thought I said it
or whatever, but we
were talking about something else.
Yeah.
And so, we were talking about the pat on the shoulder, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't bother saying it.
I meant to, I was trying to remember his name, and I didn't want to use a lookup because I was like, come on, I'm a bigger Star Wars nerd than this. I shouldn't know his name.
Yep.
And I had to think about it, but I came up with it.
Well, this is the thing that unites us, truly. There's a whole scene cut with them driving this that Stormtrooper speeder.
Oh, really?
By the way, yeah, it's pretty awful. That's why
I
can see why it was cut.
No.
Yeah, it lacks like tension or
light.
Yeah, it was not great.
It's getting close, Tim.
Yeah,
we're getting close now to the bad thing. Whenever I talk about this movie, even people who've seen it, I'm like, and then the bad thing happened. And they're like, you can say it. I've seen it. I was like, no. You don't understand. I don't want to say it.
I have kids in class that just shout out randomly. It's pretty awesome.
Detonator. Here, you need it because I'm going to die.
Yeah. Just like watching, like, they'll be doing something. It'd be like, oh, and Han Solo dies at the end, right?
And now, the rumors were that either Luke or Han would die in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
There was a rumor at one time that
Luke
was going to kill Han, whether on purpose or by accident. It wasn't clear.
I remember that. Chewie's hands. I love it when you see Chewie's hands.
It freaks
me out. Yeah,
we talk about like, oh my god, he has fingers.
Yeah.
Like human
and
looking
toes.
Fingers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All
and
right.
Chewie likes to
activate them.
Can
I have that other beer?
Yes.
I can get it, actually.
Okay.
I can sneak around. I'm listening.
Okay. Chewie likes to activate the thermal detonator and then set the charge, where Han likes to affix it to the spot and then set it.
Wow. I've seen this movie almost 10 times, and I've never noticed that.
Yep.
You are, sir, are a genius.
Chewie pushes the button and then sticks it on. Han sticks it on and then pushes the button. Interesting choices they're making. But I just like
those. The tree goes on, and then I push the button.
Yeah.
No, wait.
No.
I push the button, and then the tree. Oh, my God. Sorry, that's a Batman Returns quote.
That's a good one, though.
That's a deep cut.
See, it makes me think of Monty Python, like, with no one else in the room but us. Just us, guarding the room.
Monty Python?
I knew that someone was going to die. We knew that one of the big three would die.
Yeah.
But
we all figured it would be Harrison Ford because he didn't want to come back and do more.
He wanted to die 30 years ago.
And he was so happy in this film.
Yes.
Maybe he really didn't want to.
So, oh, man, the looks on his face. Like, why? There are railings everywhere but on this one stretch. Where the railing,
they're on a machine that you know, take that basically sucks up the sun. They can't afford rails, except over there.
Except
and all those
there are railings everywhere, but there
it's just bridges. Bridges and rails don't belong together.
Yeah,
I love the way that he yells Ben. I'm sorry, we missed that. Yeah, it's like, because that was also the moment where we went, oh, his name is Ben.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, wait, is he Ben? Is that what he said? Is he Ben?
And everyone's like, shut up! don't get quiet during the scene. You can watch it anytime you want, but people are relying on us to talk over it. So that is the whole point. That is a beautiful wide shot.
That is a beautiful
shot. Goodness.
That's
gracious.
Like a Ralph McQuarrie painting right there,
yeah.
Isn't it? Isn't it gorgeous?
There's a scene in one of the extras. There's a little clip of Ralph McQuarrie painting concept art, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because from that concept art book that you had, it looked like they did use a lot of, at least the look and feel in a lot of places.
Yeah, they went back to the original stuff and didn't
necessarily take
all of his stuff, but
This is like Cloud City right here. You know, like this is beautiful.
It's Cloud City. It's the Death Star.
Yep.
It's it's even they're all set the same way. You know, your son is gone. His ears are big, but I hit it with air.
But I think in particular this looks like Cloud City. I mean, to my eye anyway.
Yeah. Should have known that he was going to die. There's no rails.
This is true. Yes.
I mean, the red light certainly.
I mean, I knew from the second that I had a feeling he would die when he was talking to Leia, but then from the moment that he sees his son,
he shouts Ben, and you're like, yeah, you're dead. You're dead, son.
Right before he shouts Ben, when he just gives him that look, and he's like, oh my God, that's my son.
Love the way that this scene plays with ambiguity. You know, Kylo Ren's face is half in blue, half in red.
Yes.
You know, the light side of the Force, generally the blue lightsaber and the red lightsaber. I'm not sure if I have the strength to do it. You know, even the look that he gives him, like, you're still my dad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being torn apart.
Yeah.
He's being torn apart, but not in the way we think.
Yeah. And but even after he does it, you look at his face and you can tell, like, that didn't work the way that I thought it was going to.
It didn't make him feel as good as he thought he would feel.
No.
It didn't satisfy him the way he thought he would.
No.
He's still struggling.
You satisfy me the way that I always think that you will, with your voice, your tender voice. Yeah.
I do what I can.
See, and I think when Han even says yes anything, I think he knows what he's saying yes to.
See,
in
I'm
a
not
way.
Sure about
not,
that.
Not necessarily like, yes, I will die for you, but like, I think he really does mean anything.
Yes, I think so too.
And that's what the hand on the face means. If this is what you needed, then I am happy that I could do this for you.
Yeah. I'll see now.
Yeah, we'll see it now, but we're not going to stop talking.
No.
I'm just going to say words.
I'm so sick of words.
And boom. Yeah, see, and then.
So, yeah. So the light goes out.
It's so
just red light
well shot.
It is. It really is.
So low-key lighting at its best.
Low-key? No, that's Marvel.
No. Oh, I hate you. Just taking all the fun.
Is that the hokey pokey?
Yeah.
I knew it was coming, and it still hurt.
Mm-hmm. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. See, and now this face that he makes... I'm very shocked by what you did, son. I wish I could send you to your room, but I can't. So I will touch your face, this face that is my face. And I am... Oh, maybe that face is really more of a, oh my God, I'm horrified by you. You are a monster, and now I am dead.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if it's like a, I'm glad I could help. I don't really know if I read it that way.
If this is your first Star Wars movie... This scene of Leia makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know that she's force sensitive,
yeah.
Or you don't remember that, she
was listening on the radio.
Man, no.
No.
No. And then, no. And this is why Kylo Ren is a beast, because he did not get thrown back by that blaster.
That is true.
He's a beast. Yeah.
They've been setting it up a whole movie that people who get shot by this blaster get thrown back.
Thrown back in some way. And then, well, the bowcaster also traditionally charges.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, like scenes that take longer for him to fire and get thrown back, he spends the time charging the weapon. Cause if you notice all those stormtroopers he just killed, they don't get thrown back either.
Okay. Good point.
And so that's maybe my understanding of it. There's a little, video online of, Chewie takes revenge and he shoots Kylo Ren like 3 times and he keeps falling, and then he throws a detonator down and it blows up and he goes flying off, and that's the end of the... It's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I could see that.
But in a blind Wookiee rage, you know...
Yes.
Yeah. I remember a lot of people wanting to see Chewie go into that blind rage and like tear some arms off, you know, but it's Star Wars. You're not going to see that.
You want to see a Wookiee tear his arms out of his sockets?
I'd like to see it do it to a droid, but not to a human.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's fine. I could take some electronics.
Yeah.
It is crazy to me that this forest is not real.
I know.
It is a set.
That is...
It is a set at Pinewood Studios. Hundreds of real trees. It's just us now. That's such a metal line. It is such a metal like, yeah.
Okay. The self beating thing.
What is he doing? You asking what he's doing, like it?
No. Well, what's he doing?
He is causing pain to keep himself at peak Sith angriness.
Okay. Okay. I like that.
Or he's slapping it the way that I do when I get a new tattoo, and I slap it because I'm not supposed to scratch it. Right. I can't scratch this open wound, so I'm just going to slap it. Yeah.
That's interesting. I do think that keeping himself in pain to keep himself angry. That is interesting. It belongs in a museum.
Yeah.
But just like your dad.
Oh, yeah. That's
no, I was thinking that maybe he was trying to...
Like, pat the wound down.
Stop the bleeding. Yeah, like blood pressure. Like, you know, sort of...
That's what I originally had thought,
like that.
Too. But I think he is really trying to keep that rage going or something. I don't know.
I had heard one theory where he was like, it was like his equivalent of like beating his chest to pump himself up, which I thought was a little, no, because he's not beating his chest. I didn't really buy it. I buy your theory way more.
Yeah.
I like that more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. So we see here, so to the people who say that, you know, Ray,
and he has no spine.
Ray, yeah, apparently. No, he is a spineless creature.
There is a deleted scene in which the doctor tells Ray that Finn will be just fine.
Yeah, and they do say it.
Your friend will be fine.
They say it, but just in the back, like you sort of hear someone in the background saying, like, he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But so good.
So good. Yeah.
People who say that Ray is too good at everything
are fools. Go away, people.
I don't buy it.
No, she looks terrified.
She is terrified.
And she does not win this. She does not.
No,
she's going to die.
And she's not good at it up at front. Like she is. Look at this terrible. Like she's chopping down trees.
He's not. He's kind of even taking his time with her. Like, you know, he's not giving it his all. It's a little.
She's fighting two-handed. She's doing the bare minimum she needs to with like she
and
would
she's
with her
leaving.
Staff.
She's actually even leaving her stances wide open. Like the swing she takes, like you could come back at her.
She is not. You can tell she's not a skilled fighter.
Also, note that his lightsaber is unstable. He's got a cracked kyber crystal, which maybe that means that it's a little harder to wield his lightsaber because he's got those exhaust ports that form the hilt. Mm-hmm. But it's a little harder to swing that lightsaber. So he's not even working it the same way that she is.
Yeah.
You know, they're not on equal grounds. Also, the handle of her lightsaber is super big because it was designed for, you know, well, he's taken off a camera, really, but still.
Yeah, it was. But really, she is not doing, like, she is not fighting like an expert here, right? Like,
no.
At the moment, she is not doing, like, an outstanding expert job.
No, she's not at all.
Right. So, like, that needs to be said. Like, she's fighting like she would with a staff. Two-handed, mm-hmm. very big, kind of awkward, clunky moves
uh-huh.
with it. But she is not, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but she's not super skilled and super quick and
no, but we've also seen her that she's had to survive from a young age on a planet by herself. So
she gets by.
And
she gets by.
We've seen her. She's very athletic. She mm-hmm. obviously can take care of herself, you know, in multitude of situations, you know. And if she was a guy, nobody would be like, why is he so good at his
Absolutely.
Job?
Absolutely.
You know, nobody questions why Finn can, you know, hold his own for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not force sensitive,
mm-hmm.
you know, so just nonsense. See, again, here's the it's the same place, just yep. now it's got snow on it.
Right.
Maybe it actually is the same place and they just reused it and put snow on it. I don't know if that place was a set.
Interesting.
Or, I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe they did it a little double.
It's not impossible. It's definitely not impossible.
I'm not sure, but
like she's running away the whole time. Like so people who are like, "Oh, she's too good with it." Like,
and at this point Kylo Ren's theme is playing pretty heavily mm-hmm. and like, you know, you really do feel like he is going to win this day. The
yes.
ground is crumbling beneath her.
Yes.
You know, as is, you know, her self-esteem and her fight, you know, and all this lovely, lovely good things. And now this scene right here, interestingly enough, was not filmed originally.
Mm.
So these close-up moves were added afterwards. You know, you need a teacher and all that stuff is not in the original script. Because there was a moment that JJ felt was missing where she reclaims herself and comes back into the fight. And so basically it filmed up into that crack and then she took over again and started winning without her, without her feeling the force at all.
So you just saw her overtake him
and
get better, but you didn't really see
without the focus, because JJ's big thing is close-ups. The close-up,
you know,
the close-up gives you the emotion.
It does.
It gives you the connected to the character. Otherwise, you're just watching stuff.
And now that you've pointed it out, now I can see where that was edited in.
Mm-hmm.
But only now that you pointed it out.
Yeah. Yep. Now I've ruined it for everybody. Sorry. I'm sorry. But you know what? I learned that from JJ himself. So
was that on the bonus features?
No, it wasn't.
Was that what you were going to talk about earlier when you said you were talking about a JJ interview and you said you'd save it for the podcast?
Yes, I do believe this
okay,
was it.
Cool.
Yeah. I hope it was, because I don't remember,
the rest of it. All right, cool.
You know, she's struggling.
She's struggling real hard. She's not even using her, like, she's not using the lightsaber to win this.
And
she's
gets tagged. He's hurt. Don't forget. He just killed his dad, so he's a little unstable. And he gets tagged by Finn.
Yes.
And Smash. And now he's slowly becoming deformed like Darth Vader. Just like he wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he didn't lose the hand.
No, he didn't. That is a middle of the road thing. Hand gets lost in Attack of the Clones and Empire. So, you know, the father figure dies, the mentor dies in one, the hand gets lost in two, the day is one and three.
Mm.
You're welcome. Or the true evil is revealed itself in three. So chances mm-hmm. are we're probably not even going to see Snoke until three either.
Do you think we'll not see him at all in two? Or
I think we'll see him maybe again like we saw him in this, but I don't think that you're going to see him the way that, like, because the Emperor is truly not revealed until Revenge, and you don't see him in person until Jedi. So maybe you don't see Snoke in person until in episode 9. Not that it has to follow those beats.
No, no.
But I think that's part of the charm of Star Wars is that it is destiny and cyclical. So that, you know, you can expect these things almost.
It is part of the saga. It's the rhythm of the saga. It's kind of the circle of life mm-hmm. that happens in these movies.
Yeah, there is a very particular rhythm mm-hmm. to Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which
ring theory. Right, that's what they call ring theory.
Ring theory, yeah. Life and destiny are cyclical and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. All the things. Man, that cockpit is small.
Yeah, I know. It looks so much bigger on the inside.
Yeah.
Like a TARDIS.
Yep.
And there's always close-ups of the lightsaber being grabbed.
I thought it was bigger on the inside.
It is always a focal point show who has the lightsaber, where it went.
Yep.
You know?
Well, it's Excalibur.
It's Excalibur, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is exactly what it is. And at the end of Revenge of the Sith, you see Obi-Wan grab it, and you're like, and that's how he has it when he gives it to Luke. Like, mm-hmm. you see, you are, these seven films, soon to be nine films, it's basically like you're watching this object change hands.
Yes, that's right.
Excalibur.
Did you see that trailer online? The step process of the lightsaber, where it starts and where it ends up. Mm. It's pretty nifty. We can watch it when we're done watching this.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, because it really is an easy thing to pull together, right? To see all the different the changes of ownership that it goes through.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Pink astro droid.
Oh, yes.
The one that visits kids in the hospital who have cancer and whatever else.
Oh, got it. Yeah, now, so there someone voiced over and said, like, he's going to be just fine. But if you don't really pay attention, you miss it.
You're wondering why.
Yeah, a lot of people were wondering, and I was like, what do you mean they said it?
No, a lot of people were wondering why Chewie walks right by Leia.
Oh, yes.
But JJ actually went back and also talked about that. He said now looking back that it was a misstep, but I think the idea was that Chewie's focus was on getting Finn better.
Yeah. But it's true. He should have. He really should have.
Wookiees don't have human emotions the same way that we do. They deal with things differently.
I don't really believe that, though.
Okay, well, I'm just headcanoning.
I know you are. I don't believe that because his first thing when he sees Han die is he screams and he shoots somebody out of spite.
And now he's sad.
Yes.
He's going through the stages of depression there.
Grief.
Grief, thanks. And now R2 magically wakes up because everything hit the fan, and now R2 has come in to save the day as he normally does.
Fine, I'll help you.
Yep, you've come back. Yay, I have. You found what? You know?
How dare you call me that?
And I bet Anthony Daniels loved hitting him one more time.
Oh, man. Well, but it's not... It's not
Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker. Yeah. It's not. Although I think he was given a credit. Like, he may have been there for some very, very short period of time, but I don't think it's him. He's like in his 80s, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
He is an elderly gentleman.
Yeah. Yeah. The magical drawer that does everything.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. What's that hole, buddy? I'll get it. You know. And the drawer that does everything.
Yeah, I'll take care of everything else.
It doesn't even plug in. It just sits in the drawer.
Yeah. But I love the sort of graceful sweeping motion as he comes into place.
I love it. I like that it looks like it actually locks into place. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
There it is.
There he is, the first Jedi Temple.
Oh, he's in Ireland? Why didn't you say so?
Oh, my goodness. Actually, it's funny. Everyone always talks about that. the Skellig, you know, and like, oh, this looks so beautiful and otherworldly. But as soon as I saw it in the film, I was like, that looks like Earth.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I knew it was Ireland, and yep, that looks like Ireland.
Yeah, and I think that's because some of these other places, like, yeah, it's green and lush and this, and it's a desert and it's winter. And I think Star Wars planets tend to be like, they're one thing. They don't have multiple, yes. You know.
They have one climate.
They have one climate.
Biome.
Yeah, ooh, one biome. Nice. And that one, just, it always, like, it weird, like, when you see it, like, you look like Ireland. Lynn.
Yes.
So it's fine. I'll lay in your beehives.
Yeah.
No beehive. Which,
this is the hairdo she has on the poster, yes, and on the cover of the Blu-ray.
I like her little outfit.
And it's
here.
Not till the end that she actually.
She looks beautiful. It. She looks great.
She does.
Yeah.
She looks awesome.
Both of them do. Everyone does.
Everyone looks BB-8 great. Looks dashing.
Oh, he does. I love BB-8.
She finally had a costume change here.
Yep.
But she still got her, like, armbands and everything.
Well, you know.
Compressor. Yep. no, she bypassed it.
I like how she was like, nah, I got this for you.
Yeah.
We're going to take this slow.
I'll be your co-pilot. You're good.
Yeah.
You would think that Chewie would be like, okay, I got upgraded to pilot now. I got promoted,
and
no.
C-3PO's got his regular arm back, so everyone can calm down now.
I actually didn't notice that until someone pointed it out. Mm. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess, oh, okay.
Yep, so everyone can calm down.
I was like, chill the heck out.
Yep. Oh, jeez. I mean, there are so many bigger mysteries in this film than
the
what
fact
happened
that bothers,
to C-3PO's arm.
The fact that bothers somebody so much is like, okay, something happened. It doesn't matter
it
what.
It doesn't matter. Oh, look, it's Earth.
It really does look like Earth.
Yeah.
And then, once you're on the, in the atmosphere, it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really think Earth. it could have done well with like a weird colored sky or
something.
Like adapt the color of the ocean
two
a bit.
Two suns,
or,
whatever.
Yeah, it's something to make it look a little more otherworldly, because it definitely just does look like...
It just looks like Earth.
It looks like Ireland.
It looks like Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Ireland's beautiful.
And Ireland's beautiful, don't get me wrong. I love it there. It's a wonderful place, but, you know...
Yeah, we'll just hang right here. You go ahead and climb that dangerous mountain.
My knees are pretty bad, and R2's kind of old, so... You guys have a good time.
Yeah. Just, we'll be thinking about you back here. And this is her theme again.
Yeah. No, what... Even the birds flying around and stuff, like, make, like, alien creatures.
That is true.
You know?
Oh, yeah, that is very true.
You know, because I can't tell what they are, so they could just be regular
birds. Yeah, if we saw one fly by up close. Although, those can't all be...
Seagulls? Like that white one right up there? Yeah.
No. But, yes. But not all of them can be... Like, some of them must be added, right?
I would assume, because they're kind of everywhere.
But unless there really are just that many birds there.
Either way, it's not alien enough.
It's not. No, I agree.
I do love the idea of using an ancient Catholic monastery as an ancient Jedi temple.
It makes sense.
It makes a lot of grand sense, considering the celibacy and order of the Jedi and all that stuff. It's just very cool.
It looks like the Jedi are essentially monks,
right?
So it makes
sense to use a Christian mystic monastery as a Jedi mystic temple.
Jedi? What are you, George
Jedi.
Lucas?
Jedi.
George Lucas has called
him
Jedi.
Sorry. I was thinking of water.
Here it comes.
He looks so good with his beard.
Looks so good, but so he looks so beaten down and defeated.
So perfect, though.
It's so perfect. I know.
So I love his little flourish. Like, I am Luke Skywalker.
He is so in on it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. He gets it. Yeah.
Because he is a nerd himself.
His eyes are piercing.
Yes, they are.
Too. I think more so in this than they are in any of the other films.
The look of, like, yearning on her face.
His confusion.
But then his understanding.
With his glorious hair.
And his glorious scowl.
And she's trying to convey everything in a look. And he...
I mean,
turns. It is a very long scene.
It is, like, a very long scene.
Just, you know, he is sad and confused.
Now, I will agree with
probably
the criticism.
Probably hungry.
Yeah, probably.
I don't like this helicopter shot.
I will agree with the criticism. The helicopter shot doesn't belong. I think that was a misstep.
It should have ended on a two shot.
Yep.
The two of them.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Facing each other a little closer.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Well, this was fun.
Yeah.
Michael Arndt still got his credit, even though.
Michael Arndt, it's because he. Historically, it takes about 2 to 3 years to write a script. And when they hired him, Kathleen Kennedy said, we really just actually kind of hoped that it wouldn't take him 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out it was.
It did.
So, and so that's why Kasdan came in.
Yeah. And JJ stepped in to help too. But, I mean, I'm sure there are pieces of his script that that stayed. I mean, story elements or whatever.
I would actually like to see what that originally looked like.
I would too. Yeah, or at least a treatment or something. But anyway, this was a ton of fun.
It was a ton of fun.
I think we are, for the time being, done with Star Wars commentaries now.
Yeah, we did 7 of them.
We've done 7 of them.
Now on to the TV. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No.
We start with Clone Wars Season 1. No, but I think until there is an 8th Star Wars, I think we are going to put this on hiatus for a little bit. Although we might do other movie commentaries. We never know.
Yeah, there's tons of other movies out there. Do you want commentaries? Do you not want commentaries?
There are more than 7 movies in the
That's
world.
That's right. In the what? No.
Yep, believe it or not.
Nonsense.
Frank. Yeah, let us know what you think. If you would like more or not, let us know by tweeting at us at Beer with Geeks, writing us an email, beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. You can find the show at beerwithgeeks.com or on iTunes or on the Stitcher radio or on the Satchel Media Player or anywhere better podcasts are found. You can leave us reviews and ratings and stars and all this sort of this thing. Do we have an iTunes review?
We do. Ooh. We have one from Derlemke. Fun podcast. Find these guys when they did a show with Suicide Squad cast. Highly recommended the show. Also, I love beer.
Oh, thank you.
Derlemke. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, until next time, it is a goodbye from Frank. Goodbye from Moz.
Goodbye.
And cheers.